All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show, starring Michael, Mark Antonini, Carson, and Ray. Let's send it down to the field for tonight's show.
Hey, what's up, Ironbirds fans? Another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen as we get set to play Game 4 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive, Michael Mark Cantonini, alongside Ray and Carson here tonight in the Dean. Well, Ray, we've got a great crowd on hand tonight. It's Renaissance night here at the ballpark. A lot of people dressed up in some really cool costumes. Should be a fun one tonight here in the Dean as the Birds look to get back in the win column.
Tis a fine evening, my lords and ladies. It is a very fine evening for baseball tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, the Birds looking to get back in the win column. They've dropped the last two of this series, but two close games, a 2-1 loss last night. But, Ray, there were a ton of positives from last night's game. So let's get into a quick recap of what happened last night. And we're going to start on the pitching side. How about what Nestor Hermann did in just his third outing at High A and just his second outing in front of this home crowd? He faced 14 batters last night. He retired all 14. He threw first pitch strikes to 9 of 14 hitters, so he was consistently ahead of guys. And he picked up five strikeouts in his 4 2/3 perfect innings.
Nestor Hermann, the G is pronounced as an H. And yes, he was what you would say perfect last night.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic, Ray. And how about on the offensive side of things? Jake Cunningham in three games at the high A level already has 6 hits. He went 3-for-4 last night with 3 singles, drove in a run. He also racked up 4 stolen bases, which 4 stolen bases in one game, that ties the single-game franchise record. Now, 3 different Ironbirds have tied the franchise record in a game this season with 4 stolen bags. So it's just really impressive to see what he's done early on in his tenure with the Ironbirds.
And it continues that record of stolen bases that have been tracked since the 20th century, the late 20th century, 1988 to be exact.
Absolutely. And we can't forget about what Tomas Sosa and Anudis Mordaunt did. They each picked up their first high A hits last night in their first week with the team. So it's nice to see these youngsters getting into the swing of things and getting settled in.
Do not let the 2-1 loss fool you. Last night was full of positives, and it was a fantastic night. But tonight will be even more magical.
Yeah, I'm going to take your word for it on that one. Well, Ray, let's talk about what really could be magical is another playoff run for these Ironbirds. Right now, they sit just a game and a half back of first place. The Hudson Valley Renegades right now a slim lead in the second half standings. Birds really in the mix, though. With 21 games remaining, they have 15 of them at home, including tonight. So that should really help out the Ironbirds playing all these home games late in the season as they look to get back in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years.
They have a nice stretch to become lords of the South Atlantic League.
Yeah, and that's the goal. I think that if they get in the playoffs and win it all, I think that's what the championship trophy says. I'm not gonna fight it. But we're going to throw it to our guy Carson real quick to let us know what's going on here at the ballpark. So Carson, before we wrap up the show, tell us what's going on tonight and the rest of the homestand.
Good evening, fans. Thank you so much for joining us for Renaissance Night tonight. Fireworks after the game, so please stay. Fireworks tomorrow as well. And tomorrow we've got Star Wars theme night. Bring your lightsaber, anything like that, your Darth Vader mask. And next weekend, next Friday, we've got a Harry Potter theme night. Bring your wand. Fireworks on Friday and Saturday. And we've got the Zorball Tournament of Champions, second installment of that. Should be great entertainment. Like we said, the boys are just a game and a half out of first place. Some great weather here at the end of the summer. Come spend some time with us here at the ballpark. We'll all be here. Hope to see you.
All right, Carson, appreciate you letting us know what's going on at the ballpark. Well, that'll do it for another edition of The Air Show. He's Carson, he's Ray. I'm Michael Mark Cantonini. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Let's have some fun tonight on Renaissance Night. First pitch coming up at 7:05. And you know how we end it, guys. Let's fly.
Let us fly.
What he said.
All right, fans, it's time for tonight's first pitches. Please welcome King Henry VIII for the first pitch. Wonderful outfit tonight in the spirit of the Renaissance Fair. Henry, it is your pitch. Wonderful, Your Majesty. Fans, give it up for him. Next joining us, Mike Wazinski and Matthew Wazinski. All right, right down the middle. Fans, give it up for him. That's a good one, too, right there. Yes, thank you both so much. And last but certainly not least, fans, give a warm welcome to Bo. Getting right into it. All right, fantastic. Fans, give it up for Bo. Great job, buddy.
It's another beautiful night for baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play Game 4 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Greenville Drive. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Marcantonini, the voice of the Ironbirds, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Birds have dropped the last two of this six-game series, but looking to even up the series at two games apiece with a win here tonight. The Ironbirds enter tonight's game 57-54 overall. They are 23-22 in the second half. Just a game and a half out of first place and a game and a half out of a playoff spot here in the North Division in the second half. On the flip side, Greenville is 52-59 overall. They are 26-19 in the second half. Playing some good ball lately, just four games out of first place in the South Division in second place. Well, before I get to the starting lineups and the starting pitching matchup in tonight's game, first I want to introduce my co-host for tonight, my guest color analyst in the booth, keeping the guest in the booth series rolling along. And it's a familiar face and voice, somebody that you guys have heard before, Ironbirds fans, but not for a full game. He was here for the suspended game during the last homestand, the first few innings of it, and he's back tonight looking to go the whole thing here tonight. Well, I'm pleased to welcome a co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, Brad Smith, to the broadcast. Brad, we're looking for a complete game from you tonight.
Yeah, can we at least get that taken care of? I mean, look, we did end up having Enrique Bradfield Jr., you know, shout me out as I requested, which was awesome. Yep. You know, so for 3.5 innings, wasn't bad. But I'm looking forward to actually being here for an entire game. So, and it's a beautiful night. So looking forward to some baseball.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, Brad. It's great that, you know, the skies aren't opening up on us tonight like they did last time. You know, it's dry. And I was thinking coming into this homestand, I'm like, you know what? I think we're going to have a nice weather homestand because it can't get any worse than what we had the last time. So,
and, well, and that weather system that came through really cooled things down. I mean, yeah. It really hasn't been blisteringly hot since, so it's been kind of nice.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you back here looking to go the distance. You're more stretched out this time. The arm is loose and ready to go.
That's right.
Well rested, looking to go the whole nine. Well, Brad, like I said, you're a co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, and you guys are doing a lot of really cool things with the show. And we were getting into talking about a lot of it last time, and we had a really good flow going on that broadcast. I was disappointed that it ended when it did because of the game getting suspended. But I guess we'll kind of pick up where we left off last time. What's going on with what you guys are doing with the show right now?
Yeah, man. I mean, we're kind of in the dog days of baseball, but ended up yesterday having an incredible interview with Mike Arrighetti. And just what you would expect. You know, the guy that was out there handing beers out to fans on opening day, he's that guy in real life. And it's just so awesome and so refreshing to kind of see these two faces of baseball and David Rubenstein and Mike Arrighetti, and that they're actual fans of baseball, too. You know, he kind of mentioned yesterday about how, you know, the perception of owners is that they just stay behind the scenes and they're not very well, they're not seen very much. But he's the exact opposite. He wants to be involved in the community and be a part. And so it's just really refreshing to see from an owner.
Yeah, looking forward to talking more with you about that conversation that you had with Mike Arrighetti throughout this broadcast.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the video that you guys threw up on YouTube. And, yeah, I mean, just listening to him talk about the Orioles and becoming part of this Birdland community.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really exciting.
Especially a guy from New York, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a transplant, you know, getting him immersed in
right.
And everything that Birdland has to offer. So it was cool listening and watching that interview. So we'll definitely talk more about that. But, you know, looking at this game tonight, Brad, you know, the Ironbirds in the playoff hunt, looking to, you know, obviously get another good start, looking to get the bats going. And I talk about it with all my guests that come on air, and we talked about it when you were here the last time before that game got suspended. The guest in the booth runs leaderboard that you're looking to climb up. Now, I know Zach, Rocco, and Kevin, who have all been here for a full game, none of them have put up more than six runs. Kevin was here for the combined no-hitter.
I was going to say, there's a high bar still.
So that throws him up to the top.
Yeah.
But, what kind of vibes are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling like double-digit runs.
Okay.
I'm feeling double-digit runs. If we get that, I'll be very happy. Of course, with a dub as well.
Yeah, you know, the dub and a good amount of runs. I mean, if you can get around that five or six run range tonight, I mean, that'll throw you up at least in the middle of the pack.
Okay.
That guest in the booth runs leaderboard. But I think it was Rocco had six and a loss, Zach had five and a win, and Kevin had four and the no-hitter with the win. So
yeah.
Definitely a lot to live up to. But The Ironbirds have only scored one run the last two nights. So
what?
I think
what better time than today?
Exactly. I think they're due. And that's what I'm saying. I think they're due tonight.
Right. Yeah, and I'm excited. I mean, if that happens, I'll be able to rub it in the boys' faces, and it'll be a good time for me.
Yeah. For those in the audience or watching and listening to the broadcast tonight that don't know, so the Ryan Ripken Show, five guys, Brad's a part of it. Of course, Ryan Ripken, the lead man that, started everything up, but also Zach Bollinger, Rocco DeSangro, and Kevin Ostreich are a part of that. So when we're throwing around those first names, that's who we're talking about, Brad's co-host. And it's been fun because I've had, at this point, everybody except Ryan on.
Yeah.
One of the busiest dudes, not even just around Birdland, but in the country, I think. I mean, that dude's always on the move.
Always on the move. And I tell you what, nobody works. I say this all the time. It's like, he favors his personality of his mom, and he kind of favors the work ethic and all that. Not that his mom doesn't work hard, but I'm just saying, like, he favors that work ethic of his dad, too. And it's so true. He's always doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been great to see you guys grow your audience with the show, continue to grab headlining interviews with big time guests.
It's so much fun.
Yeah,
I tell people all the time, I was like, I can't believe this is my life.
It's like that that LeBron James meme from a bunch of years ago. He's like smiling through it all, can't believe this is my life.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, so Brad's gonna be with me all night tonight. Ironbirds fans, we're dealing with a lot better weather conditions tonight for Brad's return, so we are going to get through a full game with him as my color guy. Right now, we are waiting for the Ironbirds to take the field and then have the national anthem. We'll do that. But while we have a quick moment, let's look at the pitching matchup for tonight's game. Well, right-hander Michael Ferret gets the ball for the Ironbirds. He's been really good this season. He'll be making his 12th appearance and 8th start for the Birds. So Ferret gets the ball for Aberdeen. And then on the flip side, the Greenville Drive will turn to a right-hander of their own, Blake Wehunt. The starting pitching in this series has been really solid on both sides, especially the last two nights, a 2-1 game last night specifically. But Wehunt will make his 10th start of the season with the Greenville Drive. He had 8 in the Low A Carolina League before that. Well, the Ironbirds are out on the field. They are ready to take flight, which means we are almost ready for baseball here in the Dean. We'll get you the starting lineups behind both of those pitchers when we come back, but first the anthem. So stay locked in. We'll let you listen to it on the crowd mic here on MILB TV and Bally Live. Michael Marcantonin and Brad Smith with you on the broadcast tonight. Just a couple minutes away from baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Game 4 of 6 between the Ironbirds and the Drive. The high A affiliates of the Orioles and the Red Sox going at it this week in Aberdeen, while the big clubs play each other in Baltimore. Michael Mark Cantonini and Brad Smith with you on the call for tonight's game. While the Ironbirds warm up and Michael Ferret throws his warm-up tosses, let's get into the starting lineups for tonight's game. First for the Ironbirds, leading off at shortstop, it's Aaron Estrada. Batting second, the right fielder, Tomas Sosa. Elio Prado, the designated hitter, bats third. Creed Willems is catching. He's in the four-hole. Jake Cunningham is in left field. He bats fifth. Carter Young, the second baseman, is in the sixth spot. Anderson De Los Santos is over at first base, batting seventh. Noelberth Romero, the third baseman, bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup, batting ninth, it's the center fielder, Douglas Hodo, the third. One more time, one through nine for the Birds. Estrada, Sosa, Prado, Willems, Cunningham, Young, De Los Santos, Romero, Hodo. And then on the flip side for the Drive, leading off at shortstop, it's Mikey Romero with Justin Reamer, the second baseman, at second base, or in the two-hole. Miguel Blaise is the center fielder. He bats third. Ronald Rosario, the designated hitter, bats fourth. Zach Earhart is in left field, batting fifth. Will Turner, the right fielder, is in the six-hole. Hudson White doing the catching. He's batting seventh. Brian Gonzalez, the first baseman, bats eighth. And rounding out the lineup in the nine spot, it's the third baseman, Andy Lugo. One more time, one through nine for the Drive. Romero, Reamer, Blaise, Rosario, Earhart, Turner, White, Gonzalez, Lugo. As Ferret continues his warm-up tosses, want to welcome Brad Smith back into the conversation. Brad, like I said before the national anthem, great to have you here for a full nine tonight, and hopefully we'll get you in the win column and a good amount of runs as well.
Yeah, man, and I didn't realize it until I came into the stadium, but Renaissance Fair night?
Yeah.
I mean, that is incredible. There are some interesting-looking costumes out here as well, and I got to say, the pregame music was on point. I have never heard, gangster rap and with a Renaissance flair, but it was pretty awesome.
That's exactly what it was. The way you described it, couldn't have described it any better. That's what it was, and I think everybody was digging it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Top of the first inning here in Aberdeen. First pitch of the night from Michael Ferret. Swing and a miss from the shortstop, Mikey Romero. Left-handed swinger back in there tonight. Did not play last night. So the count is quickly 0-1. We are underway in the Dean. Ferret looking to get the Birds off to a good start and throw up a zero in the top half of the first. 0-1 to Romero. Fouls it off the end of the bat, and it's quickly 0-2. So it was funny because when I went down to the field to do the air show, which our viewers see on Facebook Live and the stream before the game.
Yeah.
Ray, my co-host, our PA announcer, we were talking about how awesome that mix of rap and Renaissance music was.
Yeah.
Here's the 0-2 from Ferret. Got him. Change up, and it's three pitches, three strikes for Ferret. That is out number one here in the first. And then when we got down on the field behind home plate, so we're talking to Jackie, who runs camera here, and Carson, who is our on-field MC.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the same thing when we got down there. And then I get up here, and you mentioned as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, somebody did something right with that playlist.
It's like Bridgerton, right? Like, you know, the music that gets played in Bridgerton? Mm-hmm. Same type of vibe.
One up, one down for Ferret. First pitch misses inside to Justin Reamer, the second baseman. Counts 1-0. No score, top of the first inning. We're vibing on Renaissance night here at the ballpark. Great crowd on hand. A great crowd on hand last night. Over 3,000 in attendance. Ferret's 1-0. Fastball misses just a little bit high.
Did I hear that right? Tomorrow is Star Wars night?
Yeah.
I mean, what a weekend.
It's packed. An action-packed weekend here at the Dean. Not too many home games left, just 15 including tonight. 2-0 from Ferret. That's in for a strike. Ferret stands 6 feet 3 inches tall. He's just 20 years old in his first pro season after 1 year of junior college baseball last year. Got the count 2-1. On Reamer. Next pitch, sliced foul down the right field line, and the count is 2-2. Ferret has four, sometimes five pitches to work with. He has a four-seam fastball, a changeup, a slider, and a sweeper, and then he'll occasionally mix in a two-seam fastball. So a bunch of different looks for this Drive lineup tonight. Two balls and two strikes, looking to go up, two up, two down. Ferret with a long pause. Two-strike pitch. Got him with a fastball. Tied him up inside. Back-to-back strikeouts for Ferret. Good start to his night, and now let's quickly set the defense for the Ironbirds. Creed Willems is catching with Noelberth Romero at third, Aaron Estrada at short, Carter Young at second, and Anderson De Los Santos in first. In the outfield, Jake Cunningham in left, Douglas Hodo the third in center, and Tomas Sosa in right. Two up, two down for Ferret with a couple of strikeouts. Here's the center fielder, Miguel Blaise, and Brad, it really doesn't get any better than tonight's start for Ferret.
He looks incredible out there.
Grounder foul, third base side.
See that he's from Matthew, North Carolina. You know where Matthew, North Carolina is?
Because you're bringing it up, I got to imagine it's down in your neck of the woods.
No, it's actually south of Charlotte.
Okay.
So right over the North Carolina line, or almost into South Carolina. But I tell you what, man, in the Charlotte area, they love their baseball. You ever been to Knight Stadium?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks incredible, though.
Probably the best minor league stadium in the country.
Okay.
But they are just absolutely crazy. I spent some time in the Charlotte area, and they're just begging for a major league team down in that way. So, Matthew, North Carolina. Just thought that was interesting.
1-1 pitch sent to straightaway center. Hodo's right there. He makes the catch, and it's a quick 1-2-3 top of the first inning for Michael Ferret. He looks great, and we'll see if the Ironbirds bats can get him on the board first, get Ferret a little bit of run support. Yeah, I mean, he looks great. No score after a half. We'll go to the bottom of the first after this on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Marcantonini and Brad Smith with you on the call. No score after the top of the first. Michael Ferret worked a 1-2-3 inning. Couple of strikeouts and a flyout. 11 pitches, 8 of them strike. So he looks fantastic early. And now in the bottom of the first, it's Aaron Estrada, Tomas Sosa, and Elio Prado against Greenville right-hander Blake Wehunt. First pitch from Wehunt is in for a strike. Counts 0-1 on Estrada, who did not start last night, but entered in the ninth inning as a pinch runner. So he's back in there after essentially having the night off last night. 0-1 off the hands, out to the pitcher. Wehunt picks it up on the first base side of the mound and flips over to first. One up, one down on a couple of pitches. Let's set the defense for Greenville. Hudson White is catching for Wehunt tonight with Andy Lugo at third, Mikey Romero at short, Justin Reamer at second, and Brian Gonzalez at first. And then in the outfield, it's Zach Earhart in left, Miguel Blaise in center, and Will Turner in right. One up, one down. Tomas Sosa steps in. Picked up his first hit as an Ironbird last night. First pitch misses low and in. Brad, I touched on it during the pregame show. Just one run the last two nights for the Ironbirds. They didn't score until the bottom of the eighth inning last night, but I think the bats are due.
You would think, man. I mean, being quiet that long. It's kind of funny, up in the major league system, the Orioles are the same way, you know, especially with all the power and all those bats. It's so funny how they'll just go all at the same time. They'll start to go quiet, and then they'll pick it right back up. I expect the same tonight.
0-1 to Sosa. That's downstairs, and the count is 1-1. Umpires in tonight's ballgame, it's Brian DeBrower behind the dish with Tatum Littleton on the bases. Big clubs playing some good ball in Baltimore lately. 2-1, misses low and in. Counts 3-1 on Sosa. And the Ironbirds overall playing some really good baseball. A game over 500 in the second half. Three games over 500 on the season overall. The overall record doesn't mean a whole lot. It's basically what you do in each half. 3-1 chopped up the middle, but the shortstop Romero is there. Off-balance throw to first. On the backside of the bag, Gonzalez stretches, makes the catch.
It's a great play.
And it's two up, two down. I mean, he had to go a long way for that one, ranging behind second. And then just not an ideal throw going across your body like
that. Yeah, off balance. got the throw there in time.
It looked like an NFL QB, like a right-handed QB scrambling to his left and
right.
Kind of had to come across and sling it.
Yep.
Or I guess, you know, a left-handed QB going to the right. So
most of the time that spells disaster, but
yeah.
Ended up getting the out there.
Two gone, no one on. Here is Elio Prado. Blake Wehunt has a big frame, 6 feet 7 inches tall, 23 years old in his second pro season. He was a 9th-round pick of the Red Sox out of Kennesaw State in 2023. Pitched at Southern Miss before that. He misses outside to Prado. Count is 2-0. Overall this year, he has made 17 starts with a 3.93 ERA and 73 and a third innings pitched. Almost equal splits between low A and high A. Making his 10th start at high A, Prado fouls one away.
He's got an impressive mustache there.
Yeah. That was the first thing I noticed when I pulled up his MILB page today when I was getting notes on him, you know, filling out my scorebook.
Yeah.
And the reason it stood out was because a couple days ago I rocked the mustache for one
day. I was going to ask.
2-1 swing and a miss. I rocked the stash for one day because Zach Fruit, our starter that night, has rocked a stash all season.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll do it. It made sense.
Yeah,
I'll do it
why
with
not?
That. But I was sick of the stash. I just wasn't feeling it. I missed being clean shaven, so had to get rid of it. 2-2 to Prado, swing and a miss. So he is gone on strikes. And the 6'7" right-hander with a really nice mustache picks up a really nice 1-2-3 bottom of the first inning. Both pitchers look great early on. Another pitcher's duel could be in store. No score after an inning here in Aberdeen. We'll head to the top of the second after this break on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the second in Aberdeen, no score after an inning of play. Both pitchers logged 1-2-3 innings to start their nights. Michael Ferret went strikeout, strikeout, flyout in an 11-pitch top of the first inning. And now he gets Ronald Rosario, Zach Earhart, and Will Turner 4-6 for the drive in the top of the second. Both pitchers look great so far tonight. And Brad,
11 pitches, is that good?
That's pretty good. And there's 12, number 12 sent out to short. Estrada has it, double pump of the glove. Throws a little bit high and offline at first, but De Los Santos held the bag. Looked like he took a little bit too much extra time.
Yeah, there. I don't know what was up with that. It kind of looked like he did a hop, skip, and a jump before he made that throw.
Just couldn't get the ball out of his glove, I guess. So one pitch, one out for Ferret. An efficient start, 12 pitches, 4 outs. And here is Zach Earhart, the left fielder. So Rosario gone quickly. Both pitchers look great. I mean, I think the fastball velo for both stands out.
It's not looking good for my run hopes here.
Breaking ball from Ferret, that's downstairs. Well, this Birds team can score in bunches. We've seen it all year. The series has definitely been dominated by pitching, though. But you just never know on any given night at the yard. 1-0, that's upstairs from Ferret. And the count is 2-0. Just 15 combined runs in 3 games this series between these two squads.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Greenville with a 1-run advantage. Fly ball left center field. This one's deep. Prado is over. He makes the catch. That's Cunningham, excuse me. So Cunningham tracks that one down. Two up, two down here in the second, and five up, five down overall for Ferret. That brings up Will Turner.
Now, you know, I don't follow the Ironbirds, I guess maybe as much as I should. I do follow them, but pitching seems to be kind of a strength down here.
Absolutely, and I think all season, regardless of who's been in the rotation, who's working out of the bullpen, who's been here, whether it's guys coming up from Delmarva or guys that started the year here and then moved up to Bowie,
yeah,
it has definitely been a strength. And, you know, there have been times this year where it doesn't even matter who's throwing the baseball. You're like, without even knowing, team's got a chance to win tonight.
Right, right. It's you know, and there's a lot of O's fans out there. They're kind of wondering about that pitching, right? And you know, why does Elias? Why do the Orioles always draft you know, position players? But I tell you what, I mean, it looks like the pitching here is doing just fine, and the future is bright for O's pitching.
1-1 breaking ball missed a little bit low. Appeal down to first, no swing. So 2-1 on Hudson White. So this is White hitting in the six hole. Not Turner. Looks like there was a last-minute lineup change from Greenville. So Turner.
Ooh. Hit him.
So White down to first, and that brings up Chacon. So Juan Chacon in the lineup in left field. So
it looked like he got hit. I'm assuming he got hit. Looked like it might have caught him on his right elbow.
So it was Will Turner that flew out to left. So he moved up from the original lineup. So he was the second out, and then that was Hudson White in the six hole, and now we've got Juan Chacon, the left fielder. So we're all caught up here. Last minute change. So two outs and a man on first. 1-0 to Chacon. Ooh, almost clipped him in the jersey.
Throwing quite a few up and in right now. That's the second one in a row after the hit batsman.
And the biggest thing for Ferret is control and command, because when he is on, we have seen some dominant outings.
We just saw it tonight already.
That first inning, I think, really one of the best innings that he's thrown this season, at least at home. 3-0 now. So a hit batter and now a 3-0 count on Chacon. No score here in the top of the second. Ferret peeks over his shoulder at first. Next pitch, inside, ball four. So a hit by pitch and a walk sets up first and second for the eight-hole hitter, Brian Gonzalez.
Yeah, another up and in on ball four there. Not quite sure what the calls are, but it seems as if maybe he is definitely missing somehow.
And now Jordy Henry, the Ironbirds pitching coach, is out to chat with Ferret and Willems, and I think this is a really good mound visit from Jordy, just to settle him down, give him a
yeah,
break.
Yeah, it's just quite the change. I don't know if command is just all of a sudden not there, but it definitely looks like there's some misses up and in on right-handed batters here. Hopefully this mound visit will get him to settle down a little bit, and he'll get back into that groove.
No score, top of the second, runners at first and second. Well, last night's game, 2-1 in favor of the Drive. The Drive scored their two runs in the first three innings. They didn't score over their final six frames. So the Ironbirds pitching staff, you know, only allowed two runs on four hits. The night before, the game was scoreless into the sixth when Greenville eventually won 4-0. So, I mean, these games have been tight, especially early. Two teams fighting for a playoff spot in their respective divisions in the Sally League. There's a lot to play for this time of year, and that's when baseball's at its best. Swing and a miss there, and the count is quickly 0-1 on Brian Gonzalez. I think that's all you can ask for late in the season, just to be playing meaningful baseball this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, and just being in it. And like they always say, it's you know, you get into the dance and you always have a chance.
And you just never know in the minor league baseball playoffs, the way things are set up, 0-1, that's downstairs. If you get in, there's only four playoff teams from each league
right.
at every level. Two from each division, and it's a three-game series to get to the championship series, and then the championship series is also a three-game series. So, I mean, it's not like it's a five or even seven-game series
right.
where I think the better team usually outlasts the team that's maybe a little bit inferior. Liner to left. That's down in front of Cunningham. He picks it up quickly. Station to station baseball for the drive. And the bases are loaded with two down. So no damage yet, but the driver threatening with two down. And that brings up Andy Lugo. But in a three-game series, anything can happen.
Right.
So maybe the hotter team or the better team overall goes into that series. You know, you lose game one, then all of a sudden it's an elimination game.
Yeah, I understand, you know, having shorter series, especially down here in high A or even the minors. But, like, it would be nice if the championship game was at least five. Three game sets and then five being the championship. I think that would just make sense.
I'm with you on that one for sure.
Especially because, you know, it would just be consistent with, it, you know, the show, right? Like, each set of the playoffs is just a longer series of games.
Sure.
So just to have the championship series five, make it a little bit more interesting.
Bases loaded with two down in the top of the second. No score, but the driver threatening. Counts 1-0 on Lugo. And make it 2-0. Actually,
you hit him?
It hit him.
Got him.
It got him around the hand.
Yep.
He looks like he's in
tough.
A lot of pain too.
That's tough. I don't know what's going on here. Ferret was in the groove. Looked like he was basically unhittable, and then now all of a sudden here, in the second, he's somehow lost it. It's just up and in pitches, really getting him.
An RBI for Lugo, but that's not the way he wanted to pick it up. He's getting checked out over by the Greenville dugout. That one got him, I think, on the top hand, that left, or the bottom hand of the bat, that left hand.
Yeah, it had to have hurt.
Yeah, you just, the hand, that's a tough one. All those small bones.
Yep. And you're right up against the bat.
So 1-0 Greenville. Hit by pitch, walk, single, hit by pitch. After Ferret got the first two of the inning. Now back to the top for Mikey Romero. But to your point about, I would have loved 2 years ago to have had a five-game championship series, of course, because the Ironbirds lost in Game 3 of that South Atlantic League Championship Series. So was that close to a ring, and it just it all came crashing down.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ironbirds,
tough.
They were playing some good baseball at the end of that year, so would they have won in five because they didn't in three? Who knows, but would have given them an extra chance.
Right.
Base is still loaded for the drive. Here's Romero, who struck out swinging his first time up. Pitch misses outside, 1-0.
Plus, a three-game set is just, I don't know, man. I mean, you look at three games even in, like, a wild card game, and it's just like the hot team is just going to, most of the time, roll over them. You know, it's almost like they don't even get a chance to come back.
1-0, fly ball left field, Cunningham ranging over towards the line into the corner, and he makes the catch in foul ground to end the inning.
A great catch.
A nice job by Michael Ferret to get out of trouble. He did allow a run on a hit, a walk, and a couple of hit-by-pitches, but he limited the damage, and the drive strand the bases loaded. 1-0 Greenville after 1.5. We'll go to the bottom of the second, see if the Birds can get that run back. Stay locked in on the Birds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the second inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. Creed Willems, Jake Cunningham, and Carter Young, 4, 5, and 6, due up for the Birds in the home second against Greenville right-hander Blake Wehunt, who logged a scoreless top of the first inning, 1-2-3 with a strikeout to end it. And now his 13th pitch of the night is sent to the netting behind home plate. Willems fouls it away. Counts 0-1. So 12 pitches, 7 strikes for Wehunt in the first. Now he gets the meat of the Birds' order, and Creed Willems, who is swinging it well since coming off the IL last week. Pitch misses low.
His batting stance is very interesting.
He's kind of a lot of motion with his hands and the bat.
Yeah. Very Ken Griffey Jr.-like with that bat swing.
It looks new. I haven't seen that from Creed throughout this season or even last season, but for the people that are tuned into this broadcast, just listening to the audio-only version of the broadcast, Creed's kind of moving his hands in a circle motion as the pitcher is getting set and coming to the plate, and then he gets set as well. Fastball down the chute. It's 2-2.
Yeah, he literally like holds it up by his ear almost.
Kind of twirls it a little bit.
Like just kind of gives it one, 360, and then it gets set.
Yeah, and guys are consistently tinkering with stuff like that. 2-2 gets it way up in the air to right field, ranging towards foul territory. Turner is over, and he ran out of room. It bounced off the steps on that concourse area.
I mean, hey, whatever works, you know?
I find it so interesting, all the work that these guys put in on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's not just get your swings in the cage. It's like, okay, what can I do to my swing, or how can I tinker just a little bit to maybe get faster through the zone or square up more baseballs or whatever. And looks like Creed's trying something new.
Yeah, and it's so true. We had Ryan break down the differences between Jackson Holliday's first call-up versus what changed in the second. And obviously, as you know, he's hit 5 home runs since getting called up on July 31st. And they were just so subtle as far as the changes and the adjustments that were concerned that only a pro like Ryan could really kind of pick up to understand exactly what's changed in his swing. So it's so true as far as what you're saying when it comes to just making those minor adjustments. And, hey, look, if swinging a bat, throwing a bat around before you get set works for you, then by all means, just do it.
Willems just swung over a changeup, so he is down on strike. So here's Jake Cunningham, the Ironbirds left fielder, playing in just his fourth game at high A. He's looked really good, fouls the first pitch back. But through his first 3 games at high A, he is 6-for-11 with 6 singles, 2 RBIs, 3 runs scored, and he has 5 stolen bases as well. It's about as good as it gets. We're starting at a new level. Pitch misses outside. So, Brad, it took him 3 games to get to 6 hits at high A. It took him 14 games to get to 6 hits at low A with Delmarva earlier this season.
Huh.
He's making some strides
with
the bats. He had a hit taken away from him there. Look at this play
Blake
Wehunt.
Wow.
Just kind of threw his glove behind his back, and the baseball found the back of that glove, and he flipped over to first to retire Cunningham. I'm thinking off the bat, chopper up the middle. That's ticketed for center field.
Yeah.
Wehunt just made a really nice play. Look what I found kind of moment.
Yeah, it was a hold my glove out and pray kind of moment, and fortunately it landed right in there. I mean, you could hear it from up here. It hit that glove.
I think everybody in the crowd had the same reaction that he did. You just heard this simultaneous, oh.
Yeah.
2 up, 2 down. Here's the switch hitter, Carter Young, batting from the left side. Carter's at second base tonight. He's mainly played shortstop this season, but getting a little action on the other side of the diamond. But, man, that was a nice play.
Really was.
It was one of those where, as a right-handed pitcher, he falls off to the first base side of the mound, and as that ball was heading up the middle, he just reached his glove hand behind him, and the baseball found some web.
Yeah.
2-0. Young takes a strike. 2-1. We've seen some really nice defensive plays this series. Now, I know this is your first time in the Dean this week, Brad, but
yeah. We've
seen both teams all over the diamond make some really nice plays. Tomas Sosa and Wright for the Ironbirds the other night made a diving grab. 2-1. Foul tipped. Framy De Leon, who's not playing for the drive tonight, made a full extension diving grab into shallow right as the second baseman the other night. It's been fun to watch these guys show off the leather this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to watch them play defense. Look, just want to see a few runs tonight.
2-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Another 1-2-3 inning for Blake Wehunt. Well, Brad, I'm hoping that we can get you some runs as the game goes on. It's those middle and late innings where the Ironbirds do a lot of their damage. But after 2 full here in the Dean, it's Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. We'll head to the top of the third after another break on MILB-TV and Bally Live. We'll be right back. Michael Ferret goes back to work in the top of the third inning here in Aberdeen. 1-0 drive over the Birds. The drive grabbed a run on a bases loaded hit by pitch in the second. The Birds without a base runner through two innings, six up, six down, and now Ferret goes back to work. He gets Reamer, Blaise, Rosario, 2, 3, and 4. Drive, have a run on a hit. Nothing on the board for the Birds. First pitch to Reamer. It is a fastball right down the chute.
Great pitch.
Well, Brad, we definitely have to get you some runs, but right now limiting runs is big, too. And the way Ferret's pitching, the way he got himself out of that jam is key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next pitch. Breaking ball sent to left center field. Hodo's over. He makes the catch. That's a quick out here in the third.
That's one way to reduce the pitch count after the last inning. But, yeah, I mean, that the last inning, you know, could have gone either way as far as a little bit more distance on it. It might have been out of here, but thankfully it was in foul territory. The ball was caught and saved a lot of runs on that one.
So here's Blaise, who is 0-for-1. Well, I'm really impressed because Ferret went hit by pitch, walk, single, hit by pitch. And, I mean, for a young pitcher, 20 years old in his first pro season, I mean, that could really get to you.
Oh, yeah.
And he did not let it get to him, and he got through that inning, and now he can just kind of wipe the slate clean and settle in.
Yeah. I don't know what they're calling, but it would be nice to just see him throw one at least away. Not so many high-ended pitches here.
1-0 ripped foul down the third base line. It's 1-1, and it looks early on like he's really trying to go inside on the right-handed batters
in
the drive.
Yeah, every last one of them.
You know, hey, you got a game plan, sticking to it early on.
Yeah. Zach here is hitting 316. So, you know, it makes sense to want to try to jam him up here. Maybe get another pop out.
1-1 pitch. Fly ball to right field. Sosa goes back a couple of steps.
Hey.
And he makes the catch.
It's like I knew what I was talking about.
You know what? You got to trust yourself sometimes. You know, two up, two down. All right, so here is Ronald Rosario, the designated hitter. So that was Earhart in the three hole, not Blaise.
I mean, Rosario here, he just looks like such a big kid, too.
Didn't play last night or the night before, but back in there as the designated hitter. But, I mean, this... Yeah, I mean, just looking at him, that's a big dude.
Yeah. If he gets a hold of one, I got to imagine it's going to go a long way.
Here's Ferret's 1-0. That misses low and in. A chance for a 1-2-3 inning and a chance to throw up another zero, settle things down a little bit.
Numbers aren't crazy outstanding. I mean, averaging at 254, RBIs are at 57, OPS 678. So nothing that's earth-shattering, but he got a hold of that. Fly ball.
Shallow left field. Cunningham is in. Estrada is out. Cunningham makes the catch.
That was a rainmaker.
Good communication there to you know, not run into each other. But a nice grab there by Cunningham. Three flyouts. Every single outfielder getting in on the action that inning. Center, right, left. Inning over. Ferret looks good. We'll go to the bottom of the third, see if the bats can get it going. Birds down 1-0. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the third inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. The Birds looking for their first base runner of the night. They'll send up Anderson De Los Santos, Noelberth Romero, and Douglas Hodo III against Greenville right-hander Blake Wehunt. And so far, Brad, Wehunt looks fantastic. Three strikeouts, made a really nice defensive play to help himself out. Birds just got to find a way to you know, get that first guy on and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, he can't complain about anything that he's doing tonight. He's got good stuff. The command looks like it's there. And he's keeping the Birds down. So, I mean, we'll see if they can get a hold of a couple. But right now it's looking like it's going to be a pretty tough challenge for the Ironbirds.
Weehunt was promoted to High A on June 4th. Been with the team ever since. First pitch to De Los Santos is a fastball that catches the inside corner. He is pumping that glove.
I was going to say, he's got some great pitches here.
Yeah, I mean, the velo is up for sure. I mean, both these pitchers throw extremely hard. Now De Los Santos steps out. Before the promotion to Greenville, Weehunt posted a 2.16 ERA and held opponents to a 1.67 batting average in 8 starts with low A Salem. And, of course, earned that promotion. And so far this year with Greenville, 9 starts of 5.40 ERA and a 2.42 batting average again. So the Ironbirds have a chance to make that ERA go up a little bit, but so far tonight it's gone down. Counts 1-2 on De Los Santos. One, two, low and away. Good take there from the young hitter. And sometimes all it takes is one softly hit base hit, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, we're on the board.
De Los Santos looks like he's got some good patience here at the plate, too. That was a really good take.
2-2, swing and a miss. Had a pitch to hit there. Came up just a little bit empty.
Yep, no choice but to swing at that one.
So one up, one down here in the third, and seven up, seven down overall for Weehunt. And that brings up Noel Berth Romero. Weehunt was the Carolina League Pitcher of the Week for the week ending on May 5th, a couple of months ago. First pitch to Romero, misses outside. In his one outing that week, he pitched 5 shutout innings, allowed just 1 hit, struck out 8, didn't walk a batter against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans at home and won that Carolina League Pitcher of the Week. So we know this guy can rack up some good outings. Romero slices one foul down the left field line. That one
smoked that ball.
That was a hot shot right there.
Yeah.
Straighten that out. That's extra bases. Romero batting in the 8 hole with Hodo on deck. 1-1 from Weehunt. Check swing. Pitch called a ball and Romero held up. So it's 2-1 now. 4 strikeouts and 3 groundouts on the ledger for Weehunt so far tonight. 2-1. Tomahawked past the third baseman Lugo, but foul.
He's ahead of these pitches, which is something we haven't seen all night, really. So if he can straighten this out, the ball could go a long way here.
Yeah, I like the approach right now because, like you mentioned, even though he's a little bit ahead, he's not behind.
Right.
He's not getting blown away.
Right.
So 2 balls and 2 strikes. Next pitch, that's low. A check swing, a peel, no swing.
No, no shot. No chance he went around on that one.
And that's a really good holdup right there.
Yeah.
Because, look, you know, 2 strikes, you got to be ready to hit. But, you know, a good recognition and awareness to hold up there.
He's wearing him down. This is a hell of an at-bat.
So the count's full. We'll see if Romero can find his way on. Weehunt holds the glove in front of his face. Out of the windup, 3-2. Off the hands, ground ball to short. Romero has it. Across his body to first, and Gonzalez held the bag. Another really nice play by Mikey Romero. He's made 2 very similar plays going up the middle to his left and throwing across his body. We used that quarterback analogy earlier.
Yeah, I don't even know if that was really necessary for this play. It was a little dribbler up to short. But, hey, wanted to make it look a little more flashy. Why not? But I tell you what, that was a hell of an at-bat. You can't be mad at that. Obviously, you want to get on base, but he fought all the way through.
Saw 6 pitches, hit it hard, and a nice play by the shortstop Romero. So here's Douglas Hodo the third. Pitch misses outside, and the count is 1-0. Weehunt working quickly, misses up and in there. And the count quickly moves to 2-0. 8 in a row set down by Weehunt to start his night. Birds down 1-0 here in the home third. Brad, it was about this point in the game the last time you were here, maybe in the next half inning where things really started to open up and
yeah,
started to rain.
I know.
2-0 pitch. Fly ball right field. Couple steps back for Turner. He's in now, makes the catch. And it's another 1-2-3 inning for Blake Weehunt. 9 up, 9 down. That's the first ball in the air off the bat of an Iron Bird tonight, but it is an out nonetheless. So after three in the books here in Aberdeen, it's Greenville 1 and Aberdeen nothing. We'll head to the top of the fourth after this on MILB TV and Bally Live.
Watch me now. Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information. Top of the fourth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Drive one, Iron Birds nothing. Birds without a base runner through three, but we've got ourselves a game. Michael Ferrett back to work in the fourth at just 38 pitches to this point. He gets Turner, White, and Chacon, 5-6-7. First pitch to the left-handed swinging Turner is just off the plate, and the count is 1-0. Well, Brad, the pitch count is down for Ferrett. He's throwing the ball well. He's pitching really well to contact.
Yeah.
He could go deep.
He could. I mean, he keeps throwing.
Here's a pop-up, shallow left field. Estrada is out, and he makes the catch.
This is what I'm saying, man. If he just keeps putting it in the air like this, it could be a really good night for Ferret.
Yeah, five straight air outs for Michael Ferret, but only one or maybe two of them were hit hard. I mean, that's just a pop-up into shallow left.
Yeah, I mean, how many is he up to for the night?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of flyouts, he's up to six now.
Yeah.
And it's a big ballpark, so you can live with those fly balls in this yard. Now, certain parks, you want to keep it on the ground and rack up those strikeouts. But in this ballpark, you know, it's not going to hurt you too much if the ball's up in the air.
Yeah, look, he's kept the walks down, which is, I mean, obviously he had the hit-by-pitches in the second one. But as far as, you know, base on balls, he's doing really great tonight.
Counts 2-0 on Hudson White, who was hit by a pitch with two outs in the second. That started the rally for Greenville.
Well, way to overcome that adversity, too, right? I mean, the second was a pretty rough inning for him. And as you had mentioned, closed it out, closed the door on it, only allowing one run with the bases loaded, and looks like he's back in the zone.
Ferret has been in the zone the entire month of August, entering today's game in two appearances in August. 3-0 pitch, misses low. Ferret had allowed just two earned runs in eight innings of work over those two outings with seven strikeouts.
I jinxed him.
You know,
I did it. I'll take the blame on that one.
I got to imagine that, you know, there's people at home, and whenever I say something, like, you know, talking about how well someone's doing, and then they walk a guy, it's like, all right, yeah, it's the broadcaster's fault.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's got to take the fall.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind.
I always say how the broadcaster jinx does not exist. Now, the reverse broadcaster jinx does exist, when you can speak something good into existence and then it
happens.
Oh,
I see.
So that exists.
Okay.
The broadcaster jinx doesn't, though.
You know what? I'm down with that.
You know, I think the perfect example is when the Ironbirds threw the combined no-hitter back on July 19th. I think from the fifth inning on, every single out that was recorded, I said the term no-hitter or no-hit bid. And, hey, look, it happened. They didn't lose the no-hit bid.
Spoke it into existence.
Yeah, so when we say things on the air and good things happen, that's real.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But when we say, you know, and then the opposite happens, that's not our fault. Counts 0-2 on Juan Chacon with a runner at first and one out.
I got a question for you, Mike.
What do you got?
So, you know, we obviously saw Enrique Bradfield Jr. last time we were here, and EBJ has now gotten promoted to Double A in Bowie. What's it like for somebody like you who sees these players go up and then make it to the bigs? I mean, you've seen plenty of them now, so is it a special feeling for you?
0-2 pitch from Ferret on the inside corner, a called strike three. Third strikeout for Michael Ferret, and there are two outs in the fourth. But that's a great question, Brad. And, yeah, I mean, I think it just means a little bit more.
Like, yeah.
When I saw Heston Kerstad get to the big leagues last year, he was the first former Iron Bird during my tenure here to get to the big leagues with the Orioles. So, I mean, that was just really cool. Like, I called his games. He was a big part of that championship series run back in 2022, and then he gets to the show.
Yeah,
feels a little bit better.
I was going to say, do you find yourself cheering on the player? I mean, obviously, you know, maybe you're a fan of the team too, but, like, you find yourself cheering on the player more so than anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think individually, you know, I want all these guys to get to the big leagues.
Sure.
You know, I want them all to, as much as I love having them here in Aberdeen, I want to see them in Bowie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Counts 0-1 on Brian Gonzalez with two down here in the top of the fourth. Next pitch from Ferret, fouled back. And
the reason I ask was just because I find myself doing that now too, especially like when we've had a lot of players on from the Orioles on the show, and even some of the minor league guys like Connor Norby and EBJ. It's just kind of neat when you get to know them on a personal level, and then you see them out there every night, and you're like, they do well. You're kind of cheering them on, and so it definitely feels like you have a different connection with them than just being a pure fan.
Right. And Jackson Holliday spent 2 months here in Aberdeen last year. Had a chance to do a couple of interviews with him.
He
was on episode 3 of All Mic'd Up, which was a really fun interview. 0-2 misses inside to Gonzalez. And then, you know, now he's hitting balls onto Utah Street in Camden Yards. And
right.
It's just really cool. Like, when he got the call to the show earlier this year back in April, it was the night of our home opener. During the game, we found out that he was going up to the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool. It was not only cool to see him go up knowing that I called his games here, but to get the news that he was going up during our home opener this year, it was very special for everybody here at this ballpark.
Yeah. Was it something for you, too? Like, everybody says this, right? I know it's kind of cliche, but something for you where you saw Jackson playing down here and you're like, this kid's different?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just I always tell people, like, nothing that he does on a baseball field should surprise anybody.
Yeah.
But almost anything he does can make you go, wow.
Yeah.
Like, if you get what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. Like, absolutely.
Nothing he ever did on the baseball field, like, shocked me. Like, I was never like, oh, this is, like, unbelievable. I'm like, no, like, I know he's that good, and he can make these plays.
Yeah.
Well, Ferret thought that was strike three on Gonzalez, but it's called a ball, and the count runs full. So the runner will be off on first. But, like, there were so many times where he would make a hard play look routine.
Yeah.
Or he'd field a ground ball and just fire a bullet over to first. Or get to a ball that other guys wouldn't. And that's why, you know, everything about him was, every part of his game was just so smooth. 2-2 pitch, misses inside.
It's almost kind of one of those things where you obviously you have Gunner, all-star, rookie of the year. Still, I think, could potentially be in the MVP conversation this year, but you got Bobby Witt running away with it, I think, and Aaron Judge, of course. But you almost kind of wonder, it's like, man, what would Jackson look like at shortstop in the bigs?
Yeah. Broken bat, grounder to the left side, off Romero's glove.
Tough
play.
Keeps
it in the infield, and that'll probably go down as an infield hit for Brian Gonzalez. Now, even if he fields that cleanly, I don't know that he gets that over to first in time. Gonzalez running well.
That was a really, really tough play. Short hop right in front of him. I would say the same.
Dealing with that shattered bat as well in his direction.
Right.
Well, I think they did score an error.
Really?
There's an error up on the board, unless I missed one earlier.
That's surprising. I mean, that was a really, really hard play.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So runners at first and second for Andy Lugo. He brought home the game's first run with a bases loaded hit by a pitch. First pitch to him is in for a strike. It's 0-1. We're in the top of the fourth inning. The Birds trail 1-0. But even a guy like Darryl Hernaez, who was in Aberdeen here at the end of the 2022 season, getting the big leagues with another organization.
Yeah.
He's in Oakland.
Right.
I mean, that's cool as well.
Yep.
Just to see these guys chase their dreams and get to the highest level in their profession. 0-1, in for a strike, it's 0-2.
Yeah. And then when you start to have interesting conversations with them and get to know them as people, too, it's just, hey, I mean, Jackson's one that we haven't had on yet. It's funny, we had Matt We had Matt on the show. Just haven't had Jackson, so I'm sure we'll get him at some point. It'll be fun.
Got to watch episode 3 of All Mic'd Up from last year to
okay.
get some ideas for talking points with him.
I like it.
I'll send you guys the link. Check that out.
Get some recon.
I mean, I learned a lot about Jackson in just the 10-minute interview that we did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to ask questions that he doesn't get asked a lot.
Right.
0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Tied him up inside. Another strikeout for Ferret. That's his fourth. And he works a scoreless fourth inning. So two punch-outs in the inning. No runs, no hits, one error, and two men left. We'll head to the bottom of the fourth. Birds down a run. See if they can get it back when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at goironbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night. If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information. We move to the bottom of the fourth inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Mark Cantonini and Brad Smith with you on the call. Brad Smith, the co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, joining me for tonight's broadcast. Had Brad on during the last homestand, but the game that he joined me for was suspended because of rain. Now, you're the only person that's joined me this year that hasn't been able to complete a game in which you came to. Now, one other person waited through a pregame rain delay, but the suspended game was just bad luck. But now you're here, and we're going to get through a whole one tonight.
I was going to say, it's not really something I want to be known for, but we're at 3.5 innings. So this is where we were at last time before the game ended. So we get into the fourth. I'll be starting to feel better about it.
Top of the order for the Birds. Still looking for their first base runner as Estrada rips one foul down the right field line. Well, that one would have been two, maybe three, if he had sent it to a gap. But
screaming.
That's exactly it, a screaming line drive, like from backyard baseball back in the day.
Yeah.
Get the screaming line drive power up. That's what that was.
Listen, Calvin Edwin Ripken Jr. was a beast on that game.
1-1 pitch, misses Lone in. Birds down a run, looking to get that back. Those were the best games, backyard baseball.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Did you see Bobby Witt Jr. for Players Weekend this weekend? He's got a Pablo Sanchez custom bat.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, man, it's sweet. It's, you know, it's basically just, you know, Pablo with the backwards hat like you see in the game on the bat. You got to check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely need to. That's awesome.
Counts 2-2 on Estrada. Next pitch from Weehunt on the outside corner, a called strike three.
That was a hell of a pitch.
10 up, 10 down to start his night. 5 strikeouts, and that was heat on the outer part of the plate.
Both of these kids look, you know, like I was kid around about getting runs here, but it's a treat to watch both of these pitchers tonight because they got some great stuff here.
Ferret and Weehunt dueling against each other tonight. Here's the first pitch to Tomas Sosa. It misses high, and the count is 1-0. Speaking of Players Weekend, I mean, that's something that MLB started a few years back, and it's so good for the game. I mean, just another opportunity to help grow the game.
Absolutely.
And get, you know, kids involved, youth baseball, like the tie-in with that.
But yep.
Letting players really show their personalities and their unique styles with the custom bats, the custom cleats. They used to have the nicknames on the back of the jerseys for a few years. I really wish they would bring that back.
Me too. And, you know, it humanizes the players. I think a lot of times, especially before, you know, in years past, I should say, you know, it was kind of like you almost felt like they were unapproachable. right? And so it's just nice to see the human side of these players and really getting to know them as people.
Sosa swings through the 2-1. It's 2-2. And, of course, the biggest part of Players Weekend is the MLB Little League Classic that they play in Williamsport.
Yeah.
Which that's really fun.
Our friend Tim Kirchen is calling that game, and he's such a great guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the exact same guy off camera as he is on.
2-2 on Sosa. Next pitch low, counts full. So Yankees and Tigers in the MLB Little League Classic in Williamsport this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. That had to have been a really fun interview with Tim Kirchen.
Well, he's a regular now.
Okay, so a recurring guest.
Yeah, he's been on 4 times now, wow. I think, this season. And he is a ton of fun.
He's just the sixth co-host now.
Yeah, right. Right now, yeah, he's such a wealth of knowledge. Always loves just making fun of himself, which is hilarious. And, you know, he's just a national treasure. Yeah. He really is.
That's a great way to describe it.
His son has a podcast now that he does with him, yeah. That Tim does with him. And I tell you what, it's like Tim's just talking into a mirror. It really is. His son sounds exactly like
him. Yeah. Well, the Ironbirds just picked up their first base runner. Sosa walked on a full count pitch. I'm glad you brought up his son Jeff, because Jeff is a part of the Andy Summer Show, which is a country music morning show on 92.5 in the Philly area.
Yep.
Listen to it every day driving in the offseason in the morning, and he's a part of that. Ground ball to short could be 2. To second for 1, over to first in time, and Elio Prado hits into a 6-4-3 twin killing. The Birds get their first base runner of the night, but Blake Wehunt has still faced the minimum through 4 innings because of the double play. Birds looking to get something going offensively, but we'll go to the top of the 5th first and see if Michael Fret or a reliever can shut it down. We'll head to the 5th after this. Birds down 1-0. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. Left-hander Luis De Leon is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds here in the top of the 5th inning. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. Game 4 of this 6-game series. The Birds took the series opener 6-2 on Tuesday. They dropped Wednesday's game 4-0, lost 2-1 last night, and in a very low-scoring series dominated by pitching. The Birds will look to keep it where it is here in the 5th as De Leon takes over for Michael Ferret. Left on left for De Leon, top of the order, Mikey Romero chops one to first, backhanded by De Los Santos. He races to the bag. One up, one down, and a nice start for Luis De Leon. Well, Brad, Michael Ferret was really good tonight. 4 innings of 1-run ball, gave up just 1 hit, 4 strikeouts, 2 walks, and we talked about it all night. The fact that he kept his composure when he was in a jam and got through it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's really had some good stuff, and kind of would have liked to see him pitch a little bit deeper, but obviously I understand why. However, he just had a great night. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Ferret reached the 100 strikeout mark in his last start. He picked up 4 more tonight. So it's great to see him having the kind of season that he is at just 20 years old in his first pro campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
So De Leon takes over, looking to go bulk innings. Here's Justin Reamer, the second baseman. Pitch to Reamer, misses a little bit low. De Leon has four pitches to work with, a four-seam and a two-seam fastball, as well as a changeup and a slider. Up and down this year for the Ironbirds. And he's bounced back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation. 21 years old from Barahona in the Dominican Republic. Started the year with Loe Delmarva and had a quick stint there before getting the promotion to high A. With the Ironbirds, he has a 6.02 ERA in 14 games, 8 starts, 46 and a third innings of work, 50 strikeouts. Working fast here, swinging a miss on the 3-1 from Reamer. It's 3-2.
Fun fact of the drive, friend of the show and co-host during football season, the Ryan Ripken Show, Nick Moores, a long snapper of the Ravens, played for the drive and played for a Red Sox affiliate. I thought he played for the drive, but I wanted to confirm he did actually play for them.
Okay, yeah. Love seeing those two-sport athletes
at
the pro level.
Actually was teammates at the time for the drive with Mookie Betts at the time as well.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually pretty cool to hear him tell the story about when Mookie actually turned it on, because Mookie didn't start off great in the minors. And then all of a sudden, Nick was kind of like describing with Mookie about how, you know, a lot of the outs that he was getting were just hard-hit balls and just were getting in the wrong spots. And all of a sudden, he just rips a home run. And it was just after that, it was just Mookie became Mookie.
Just needed that one.
Yep.
Sometimes it's tough as the three-hole hitter, Earhart, takes a strike. Like, even when guys are making hard outs, they're still outs.
Yeah.
So as a baseball player, you're like, well, I'm not on base. It's not a hit.
Right.
Like, you get a little frustrated.
Yeah.
Sometimes then just that one, then you get going.
That's all you need.
And that's so funny that one homer started it all, and now Mookie Betts, future Hall of Famer, you know, however many all-star games he's been to, and the gold gloves and the silver sluggers, multi-time MVP winner.
Yep. Well, how about Nick, too? I mean, you go from being a professional ball player, then you go to Georgia, become a long snapper. And actually, he went to Georgia to become a linebacker for Georgia. But a guy by the name of Roquan Smith ended up overtaking that spot. So then Nick Moore decided he might as well be a long snapper. Obviously, it's worked out well for him.
1-2 from De Leon, missed low and into Earhart. It's 2-2. Birds down a run, top of the fifth inning. See if De Leon can pick up where Ferret left off. Ferret was really good tonight. Allowed just the one run. He allowed four consecutive base runners at one point in the second inning. But only one other base runner reached safely in the rest of his outing. 2-2. Fly ball to center field. Hodo went back a step. Now he comes in a couple. And he makes the catch for out number two here in the fifth. Well, before the break, Brad, we were talking about the MLB Little League Classic coming up. And then you brought up Tim Kirkchin and how you guys have had him on the show a few times. Basically an extra co-host at this point. But, his son, Jeff, is a part of the crew at 92.5 XTU in Philly, the country music station.
Yeah.
Now, I love country music, so I listen to the morning show that he's a part of every morning in the off season.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
You get it. He sounds just like him.
Yeah, and it's cool because I grew up watching Tim on TV on ESPN
like everybody did. Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm listening to his son on the radio. It's cool. But, yeah, I mean, Tim is just a baseball encyclopedia. One of my favorite things ever was Baseball Tonight back in the day on ESPN with him and Buster Olney and Carl Ravitch and that crew. I mean, that show was awesome. It's a shame that it's been gone for as long as it has.
Yeah.
But he had a segment called Kirk Gems. It's like the playoff of his last name, Kirk Ginny, and Kirk Gems.
Sure.
And he would just talk about, like, wild stats in the game and, you know, like, highlight plays highlight defensive plays that you'd see throughout the week in the major leagues. But, I mean, that was always something I look forward to.
It's so interesting, too. You know, you say that about growing up and watching Tim, and now you're listening to Jeff on air. It's very similar parallel with, Tim covering his dad, Ryan's dad, in the majors. And now, you know, Tim's coming on our show.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a weird full circle. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's cool. You know, it's really something special, and I love it. Tim's by far my favorite guest that comes on. He is a character.
Yeah.
Guest that comes on the show. I just really enjoy him on every single time.
Counts 3-1 on Ronald Rosario, the cleanup hitter, with a runner at first and two down here in the fifth. Yeah, I mean, playing sports, especially baseball, and then working in sports, especially baseball, there's all, it's just a web of everybody's connected in some way.
It really is. It really is.
That's ball four, so De Leon walks his second of the inning. Puts runners at first and second for Will Turner, the right fielder. And, I mean, I've talked about it with Ryan, like when Ryan joined me on two broadcasts last year, like that was really cool for me because when I worked for the Pirates AA team, the Altoona Curve in 2019, I got a chance to call a couple of Ryan's games when he was with Bowie, and they were in Altoona.
Right.
And I even got to call one of his hits that season.
Yeah.
And I went, before he joined me for the first time on a broadcast, I went back and found the clip of that hit and sent it to him, and I'm like, this is really cool. Like, now we're doing a broadcast together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then him having me on the show with you guys. Like,
right.
Like, it's very cool how we've connected years later.
Yeah, yeah, we got to do that more next year, too. Ryan and I and the boys have talked about that. It's amazing to me, you know, and I don't know how many people really are in tune with the Ironbirds, but it is amazing to me about how many people actually do follow the minor league system. And when we talk about them and we actually put out clips of players that are, you know, triple, double, or high A ball, how many people actually are locked into that kind of stuff? I just never knew that there was that much interest in that, you know, because the spotlight's on the show, right? But it is really interesting to see how much involvement there is with the minor league system.
First pitch to the left-handed swinging Turner misses way inside. Counts 1-0. Ironbirds pitching coach Jordy Henry made a quick visit to chat with De Leon and Willems. Birds down a run, top of the fifth, two on and two outs. And I was talking about this with Brent Harris from WBAL, who joined me on last night's broadcast.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how, yeah, people care in Birdland what's happening at the minor league level.
They really do.
Tapper in front of the mound. Willems picks it up. Strong throw to first to De Los Santos. And the inning is over. Well, nice job by De Leon after the mound visit to settle back in and get that final out. Weak contact, 2-3 on the putout. Inning over. And another zero on the board. 1-0 drive after 4.5. We'll head to the bottom of the fifth and see if the Birds can get on the board. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the fifth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. Willems, Cunningham, and Young do up against Greenville starter Blake Wehunt. Brad, Birds got their first base runner in the bottom of the fourth, but Wehunt still faced the minimum through four because of a double play ball. At this point, just looking for base runners. It's only a 1-0 deficit. Not a big deal at this point in the game.
Yeah, Wehunt was just in cruise control. You know, just really controlling this entire game. We kind of joked off air about the perfect game kind of being broken up here, but man, he just looks like he has got everything in control here.
Swing and a miss from Willems. Count is 1-1. So this is the
mustache
part
is working for him.
Yeah, no, I mean it's mustache was working for Zach Fruit the other night, like it has all season. Working for Wehunt tonight. 1-1. That pitch is over for a strike. Counts 1-2.
I gotta say though, I would go with you. Mustache. I'd be voting mustache.
Mustache
well.
Over the goatee?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So what, I'll explain after this pitch what Brad is referring to and provide some context. Here's the 1-2 to Willems. Hard hit ground ball to first. Gonzalez backhands it. Underhand flip to Wehunt covering. And a 1-3 put out, or a 3-1 put out starts the fifth. That brings up Cunningham. So earlier in the week, I've talked about this on air. I was rocking the goatee for a couple days, just trying something different out. And then I went just the mustache for Zach Fruit's start the other night. And then I got rid of the mustache yesterday. I'm not a huge mustache guy to begin with. Yeah. I had never done it before, and I was just ready to be clean shaven again.
Right.
But so I put a poll on my Twitter account today. I said I need my alternate identity, like moving forward. Like teams wear alternate jerseys.
Yeah.
Like what's my alternate facial hair look moving forward? As Jake Cunningham steps in, counts 0-1. Swings and drives one to deep right field. Turner goes
back. Get out of here.
He's at the wall. He makes a step up on the track and makes the catch.
Oppo Taco would have been too.
Nice piece of hitting there. Hit it hard. But so to continue the conversation, I put a poll on my Twitter. I said today, all right, what do you guys think's better, the goatee look or the mustache? And I posted pictures of each. And so far, I think I've gotten 25 votes on the poll, and mustache is winning. I was a little surprised.
See, like, the goatee is obviously out of style. You're not seeing anybody with that anyway.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, and I'm sure you probably had to deal with this too, but the maintenance on a goatee is just, it's a pain.
It is.
You got to mess with it every day.
No, you're right. And I was only rocking it for, I think maybe it was 5 or 6 days. And
yeah.
It was kind of annoying.
It is. Very annoying.
Going back and trimming and
yep.
making sure everything's lined up.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah. And then you miss a little spot, it's so noticeable.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a pain. Yeah. I tell you what, though, there are some guys that can pull off the mustache for sure. I don't know if I'm one of them, but I can tell you that Ryan Ripken is not one of them. go ahead and Google that, ladies and gents who are listening, because it is something. I tell you what, he had a mustache to, you know, try to get himself out of a slump. It apparently worked, and so then he kept the mustache for a while. But it is rough. Not mustaches are not for Rip.
Counts 1-2 on Carter Young. Bird's looking to avoid another 1-2-3 inning. Still down 1-0. Pitcher's duel tonight. Birds haven't had anything going offensively to this point. Still no hits in the game. 1-2, that's low, 2-2. But, yeah, I mean, I got some overwhelmingly positive feedback on the stash.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
You know, it's the Italian in you.
Yeah, I mean, I will say just Italians in general can rock a stash
they
better
can.
Than most.
They can.
2-2 pitch to Young. That's high. Ball three. But the problem, I guess, throughout my life has been the hair, like where the mustache is, you know, on top above the lip.
Yeah.
Like that grows in faster than
yep.
everything
Same.
Else on my face.
Yep.
So it doesn't look great always. 3-2 pitch. Called strike three. Backdoor breaker froze Young. And the inning is over. Another 1-2-3 inning for Blake Wehunt. And he has faced the minimum 15 batters through 5 innings. 5 full in the books in the Dean. The Birds still trail 1-0. We'll go to the top of the 6th after this. Luis De Leon will go back to work here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the sixth inning in Aberdeen. The Birds still trail the drive 1-0 in game 4 of this 6-game series. The Ironbirds are just a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now, trailing the Hudson Valley Renegades in the second half North Division standings. First pitch to DeLeon here in the sixth misses outside to Hudson White, the catcher, with Chacon and Gonzalez to follow. The one run for the drive came in the second inning on a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch. That's it. So the three runs that the drive have scored the last two nights, Brad. Yesterday it was a sac fly, a fielder's choice grounder, and tonight a bases-loaded hit-by-pitch. Not exactly tearing the cover off the ball.
No. But I am noticing that every single one of the drive players are just out of their seats. It's interesting. Not quite sure what's up with that.
Everybody on the top step of that dugout. Arms over the railing. Counts 1-2 on White. DeLeon out of the windup. Next pitch misses inside. DeLeon's looked good through an inning. Walked 2 in the fifth, but got a couple of groundouts and a flyout. He's got a legitimate shot to finish this game if his pitch count stays down. 2-2 misses inside. And with the piggyback tandem starter system that the Orioles organization runs, especially here in Aberdeen, you got a starter who goes 4, and then you bring in the bulk inning reliever who could go 4, maybe 5 to finish it. I mean, this is the time of the season where guys are a little bit more stretched out.
Yeah.
If they're pitching well, sometimes you only need 2 to get through a game. 3-2. DeLeon's pitch, fastball sent foul to the netting behind home. Yeah, Brad, you mentioned it earlier. Not a lot of runs on the board in the game. Ironbirds still with a goose egg, but when you get a pitcher's duel like this, I think any baseball fan can appreciate it.
Can't
that.
Be mad at it, no.
3-2 from DeLeon. Missed a little bit high and wide.
Ironbirds fans don't want to hear this, but Weehunt is, he's just sensational.
He's
you
got
know?
Some good stuff.
Yeah.
So White has batted 3 times. He's reached base safely 3 times. Hit by pitch, walk, walk. And that brings up Chacon, who's 0-1 with a walk. Birds down 1-0. That's it. Bullpen action for Greenville. Right-hander Gabriel Jackson is loosening up. First pitch strike from DeLeon to Chacon. That's a good sign after the walk to come back with strike one.
Got to wonder if it's a good sign for the Birds that Weehunt's not going to be pitching in this game.
Yeah. Can't hurt. 0-1. Luis Peppers, the bottom of the zone. It's 0-2. This Ironbirds pitching staff has done an incredible job of keeping the Birds in these games the last few days. Birds allowed just 2 runs last night, 4 the night before. 0-2, a little bit off the plate.
Yeah, how many pitches did Ferret have?
57 pitches, 30 strikes. Pretty solid ratio
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, great night.
DeLeon looks over at first. Short lead for White. 2-strike pitch, high chopper to third. Romero
that's an error.
Had a tough play there, and it goes in and out of his glove. And that's a tough one because the ball was chopped so high off the turf, he had to wait for it to come down. And then it looked like he just tried to rush it, the transfer.
Yeah, you got to wonder if that's going to be – it has to be an error, right? I mean, he had it in his glove. Maybe the runner would have been safe regardless.
I think they gave that one a hit.
Well, that's interesting.
So the last one that we thought was a hit, they gave an error.
Yeah. And that one looked like it would have been, should have been an error. So runners, most recent play.
Runners at first and second with no outs. Here's Brian Gonzalez. DeLeon has to bear down. Pitch misses high and away. Well, earlier in the broadcast, Brad, we were talking about continuing the conversation about Players Weekend.
Yeah.
And the reason that's in place is to help grow the game.
Right.
You know, to show who you said it, to show who these guys are and, like, let them show off their personalities and really show the person behind the player.
Right.
That pitch misses outside 2-0. I know everybody's got some thoughts on this. What are some ideas that you have for Major League Baseball to help continue to grow the game.
I'll tell you what that I think is actually going to do really well for the game, and that's the Netflix docuseries that they're doing with the Red Sox right now. Okay. I thought they should have done this a long time ago, but you know, you saw what it did for Drive to Survive, and then what was the one they did with Goff. And now they're doing it in with and then they have receiver now that just came out through Netflix.
Yeah, the quarterback before that.
Right. I think this is going to actually do really well for baseball fans and bring more awareness. Netflix has done such a good job of that, but I think the Major League Baseball has also done really good at the rule changes, making the bigger bases, you know, making the games shorter. That, I think, changed a ton last year for baseball fans. You saw the metrics. More fans showed up to games.
Ground ball to short. Estrada has it. Off-balance throw to first, just in time to get the speedy Gonzalez. That was his only play. He made it. So second and third with one out. But the Birds get a big out. That's huge.
So I think that they are doing the right things. I think it's just continuing that and making it more consistent. But you're right. Like, the players' week, I think it also just allows kids, young kids, to be able to relate to these players because they're into fun things. They start to, you know, do the same hobbies as some of these players do as well. And so I don't know. I don't know if I would change anything right now. I think that they're doing the right things, and we'll kind of see how this plays out. The shorter games really makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the pitch clock, it's not taking anything away from the product on the field, but it's taking away the useless downtime in between innings, in between pitches. 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss. Back-to-back changeups from De Leon with second and third and one out in the infield in.
And the bigger bases, I mean, it makes for a more aggressive base running, more action during the game. You're not waiting around for somebody to just hit one out of the park. And with that being said, I mean, there's more runs being scored, and people just want to see that, you know?
Infield stays in for the Birds. 0-2 pitch. Called strike three on the inner half.
That was a great pitch.
Lugo just watched it go by him, and he heads back to the dugout. That's out number two here in the sixth.
Really fooled him on that off-speed pitch.
And now the Birds infielders can move back. That's a big punch out for De Leon. So, I mean, those are great points. You know, you want more action in the game. That's what MLB is continuing to try to find ways to bring that back and have the ball in play, have runs on the board.
I tell you what, that I do like seeing, especially in AAA, was the instant reviews
for ball and strike calls.
For balls and strike calls. I really like that a lot, and I think that's going to – I mean, we're still seeing it, even just as recently as this week, where there's just some really awful calls as far as balls and strikes are concerned, some that aren't even close. So I think that those instant reviews, probably the next evolution of MLB rules, and I wouldn't be mad about it.
Left on left for De Leon for the leadoff man Romero. Fouls the 0-1 pitch back. It's 0-2. Birds down a run, top of the sixth. Runners at second and third. De Leon looking to get out of a jam. And I think we will see that ball strike challenge system at the big league level soon. Because, one, I think the biggest thing is it doesn't take away from...
It's quick.
Yeah, it's quick. It doesn't take away from anything that's happening on the field. Because if a batter wants to challenge, he taps his helmet. They throw the review up on the scoreboard. And instantly, if it's a strike, it becomes a strike. If it's a ball, it becomes a ball.
Right.
And then you go right back to it. It's that simple. 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss. De Leon picks up back-to-back strikeouts to get himself out of a second and third jam here in the sixth and keep this a one-run game. Well, the young left-hander from the Dominican looks really good tonight. He is through two scoreless. And that'll take us to the bottom of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. We'll head there next. Birds down a run. Stay locked in on the Birds Broadcast Network. Right-hander Gabriel Jackson is the new pitcher for the Drive in the bottom of the sixth inning. Drive one, Birds nothing in game four of this six-game series. Michael Marcantonini and Brad Smith from the Ryan Ripken Show joining you on the broadcast tonight. De Los Santos, Romero, Hodo, 7-8-9 for the Birds. Brad, you mentioned it earlier. Blake Wehunt was fantastic. Five innings of no-hit ball, six strikeouts, just one walk. And the Birds, I'm sure, are happy to see a new arm out there.
Yeah, even though this kid coming up looks like he's got quite a bit of heat behind him, too. We'll see what he looks like. I don't know anything about him, so far from what I've seen, it looks like he might still prove a challenge to the Birds, but we'll see.
Anderson De Los Santos looking to get on base. Just one base runner for the Birds tonight. Tomas Sosa walked on a full count pitch in the fourth. He was erased on a double play. So Wehunt faced the minimum, but there's a ground ball up the middle for a base hit. And Brad, you are not walking out of here getting no hit. We know that for a fact now.
Woo!
De Los Santos with a single up the middle, and that brings up Romero as the go-ahead run. Well, Jackson, 22 years old. He stands 6 feet 2 inches tall. He has spent the entire year with Greenville. 23 appearances, 21 of them out of the bullpen. He has 8 wins this year. He is vulturing some wins out of the pen. 65 and a third innings of work. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys, only 52 on the year. But opponents hitting just .232 against him as Romero takes a strike. De Los Santos can fly. Maybe see if they can try to get him in scoring position here.
Yeah.
Well, stolen base action.
Continuing our conversation with the ball and strike challenges here, it's like, you know, reemphasize, it's not that I don't want the umpires to still be there. I'm fully against robo-umpires.
Yeah.
Still want them to be part of the game, and they do have a hard job to do. Don't want to take that away from them.
It just makes it easier on them, too.
Yeah, it makes it easier on them, takes the pressure off, plus you know that you're not influencing the outcome of the game.
Especially, you know, late game scenarios, pennant races.
100%.
You know, one pitch can determine a lot. 0-2 pitch popped up on the infield. We'll see who wants it. The first baseman, Gonzalez, calls everybody off. He makes the catch. So Romero is retired on the pop out. That brings up Hodo. One thing, I posed the question to you, and one thing that I would love to see Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball do, I think they could combine on this. Now, some of the regional sports networks are already doing this.
Yeah.
Specifically the YES Network, the Yankees, and SNY, the Mets. Those networks are having some of their affiliates' minor league games on those networks throughout the season. Hodo tries a bunt, foul
like
up
that.
The first baseline. So both the Hudson Valley Renegades and the Brooklyn Cyclones in our league have been on the Yankees and Mets' respective networks on days where the Yankees and Mets aren't playing. So they have programming. But that's showcasing what's happening at the minor league level. I think that every major league team should have every single one of their minor league affiliates on their regional sports network at least once a year.
I agree.
I would love to see that become a thing. Because we're just talking about growing the game. To grow the game, fans want to know who these guys are when they're in the minor leagues, not just when they get to the big leagues. And this is a way for that to happen.
Yeah.
And to get eyes on them, you know, not every fan can travel and see these minor league teams play in person. Runner takes off for second. De Los Santos didn't get a great jump. The throw down to second is in time, and he is tagged out for the second out of the inning. But I just think that would be such a cool way and so to grow the game. It would be beneficial for the big league teams, the networks to get programming when the big league teams are off, minor league players and broadcasters to get exposure.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of good that could come out of that.
I agree. Something that I didn't even think about until you brought it up, but, you know, we just got them talking about how fans in the Maryland region know a lot about their minor league systems, but that's not the case everywhere. And you have a lot of minor league teams like out in the middle of nowhere that you don't know much about. So I love that idea.
Yeah. Well, hopefully somebody important is listening and picks up on that. But not a 1-2-3 inning for the Birds, but they go down with just the 3 minimum coming to bat. They got their first hit, but that's it. 6 in the books in the Dean. The Birds still trail 1-0. We'll head to the 7th after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Top seven in the Dean. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. Well, Brad, you checked off the first hit of the night. You're not going home getting no hit, but still a zero on the scoreboard. Birds need some runs, but first, De Leon, after two scoreless innings of relief, is going to try to throw a third scoreless frame, and he gets Reamer, Earhart, and Rosario. But the pitching tonight has been spectacular on both sides.
Yeah, and you know what? I've officially been here for a full game. So
yep.
I'll take it.
Counting the suspended game last time.
That's right.
Add it up. Piece it together.
Yeah.
Well, the Birds did score some runs that night for you.
They did.
I can't remember how many they had.
I can't remember either. I know there's a lot of stolen bases.
I got to go back and find that game.
Did they end up winning that game later?
We won the suspended game. Okay. Didn't even play nine. It took us 2 days to play seven innings, and the game was official. One team had the lead. So, yeah, that was just a brutal stretch.
I mean, does that count as a dub for me?
I think it should. 2-1 pitch from De Leon to Reamer. That's outside. I mean, you know,
I was here for literally half of that game.
Right. No, it's my call with the guest in the booth runs leaderboard. And to be honest, I think you deserve it.
Okay.
Especially with the way this is going tonight.
Yeah.
3-1 pitch. Inside corner for a strike. Counts full. Well, I got to go back into the archives here. See how many runs you put up that night. What day of the week was that? Was that a Friday? That was exactly 2 weeks ago.
Hey,
yep.
Did you know that it was actually a fortnight ago?
It was, yeah. Renaissance night, little tie-in.
See what I did there?
I did a 3-2 pitch fouled back.
For those listening, a fortnight is 2 weeks.
Yeah, which I didn't. So growing up, one of my favorite shows on Disney Channel was The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
That's where I learned the term fortnight from that TV show.
That's hilarious.
3-2 pitch. Oh, that looked good, but it's called ball four. It's a leadoff walk to Reamer. That's the fourth batter that De Leon has walked, but it hasn't been an issue so far. Yeah, there was an episode where Mr. Mosby was talking about something, haven't done something in a fortnight.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that term was, so like I asked my dad, I'm like, what does that mean? And he's like, yeah, it means 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's where I learned. I'll never forget it.
Yep.
Every time I hear that word, I think of that episode.
Yeah, that's so funny.
First pitch from De Leon. Earhart's over for a strike. Man, I wanted that last call for him. It looked good.
I want to know who determined a fortnight was 2 weeks. It's just an interesting period of time.
So I'm looking back on that game on August 7th. The Birds had one run when the game was suspended.
Oh,
so he got one.
That's terrible. Not looking good for me.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So Brent Harris, who was here last night, only got one run. He's the first person to spend an entire game with me and get that few runs. So 1-1.
The night's not over.
Right side of the diamond, foul ground. De Los Santos is over towards the padded wall. He overran it, and it drops in between him and Young.
It's tough. It looked like it definitely had some English on that ball, and it skied way up in the air.
Yeah, it might have knuckled or just kind of blew back, a little topspin,
yeah.
Backspin, whatever it was.
No wind tonight.
Yeah.
The flag out there is not moving whatsoever.
So I guess it didn't blow back. It was just the spin that took it back.
The Magnus effect.
Greenville's run came in the second inning. Nothing on the board other than that. Two-strike pitch, grounded past De Leon.
Roll
behind
it.
The second base bag. Young has it, steps on
got
second
it.
For one, over to first, a double play.
Great play.
4-3 double play. Carter Young was in great position behind that second base bag, took it himself to the bag, and then fired a strike over to first. So that's how you erase a base runner. So two gone and no one on for Ronald Rosario, the DH. Rosario walked his last time up. He's 0-2. Swings at the first pitch and lines it to left, but Cunningham is right there, and he makes the grab racing in. Not a 1-2-3 inning, but De Leon faces just three batters in the seventh, a big double play ball, and then a first pitch lineout. It's still 1-0 through 6.5. Time to stretch here in Aberdeen. See if the Ironbirds can stretch those bats and lead them into a couple of runs. We'll go to the bottom of the seventh after this on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the seventh from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. 1-0 Greenville over Aberdeen. Game four of a six-game series. Greenville has taken each of the last two games of this series after Aberdeen grabbed game one on Tuesday. Birds looking to get back in the win column tonight. They're down just a run, but they only have one hit, and they've only had two base runners to this point in the game. And here we are in the bottom of the seventh with the top of the lineup due up, Estrada, Sosa, and Prado. Brad, the Birds are down to their final nine outs. The pitching has kept them in this. So it only takes a couple of knocks to really get something going.
That's all you need.
Estrada swings at the first pitch, pops it up to shallow left. Romero's out, Chacon is in, and Chacon makes the catch. One pitch, one out. Brad, we were talking earlier about Players Weekend, and I mentioned that they used to do the jerseys with the nicknames on the back a couple years ago, and I absolutely think they should bring that back. It would be awesome. But if you were in the big leagues and they brought the Players Weekend jerseys back and you could put anything on the back of your jersey, what are you putting on there?
I have no idea. I tell you, like, I always that's a question I don't have a prepared answer for.
You seem flustered, like, by it.
I know what my walk-up song would be. I have a couple of things that, like, I thought about, but that's definitely not one of them.
0-1 pitch from Gabe Jackson misses outside. 1-1 on Sosa with the Birds down a run. I mean, you could go just at Own the Chaos. You could go with Twitter and Instagram handle.
I was just thinking that. Like, you know, that it would make a ton of sense. We've talked about how that can apply to so many things.
Like, do you have any just straight-up nicknames, like, from earlier in life, like growing up?
No, just Brad, you know?
Just Brad. Hayden Nierman warming up in the Ironbirds bullpen. Three scoreless innings from Luis De Leon in relief tonight.
It's kind of boring that way, I guess.
Counts 1-2 on Sosa. Next pitch, fouled that off of himself.
Friends in high school just call me B. Smith.
Okay.
You know, nothing too crazy.
Yeah, no wild nicknames that just came out of nowhere and stuck.
Well, I mean, I, with you asking the question, I got to imagine that you had something in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I could go a few different ways for myself, but... So here in Aberdeen,
because your last name would be like Saltalamaki on the back of that thing.
Yeah, it would be wrapping around for sure. There's a few different ways I could go. Counts 1-2 on Sosa. Jackson out of the windup, next pitch, flip foul into the netting. So here in Aberdeen, I don't go by it, but like I call myself Iron Mike.
Okay.
You know, like Mike Tyson's name, Iron Mike. I'm not going to take that from Mike Tyson, but you know, Iron Bird, my name.
Makes sense.
1-2, swing and a miss, pitch in the dirt, and Sosa is gone for out number two here in the seventh. But one of my nicknames that has really stuck is from my time in Australia a couple of years ago when I was out there. On my Instagram story, when I made a post that, you know, saying that I was out there, and when I shared it on my story, I did hashtag Aussie Mike. And a woman that worked for the team that I was with, the Aces, said, you know, she was just like, I love that. And she started calling me it. And I wasn't just going to start calling myself that and use it until somebody else started to say it and it caught on. But it caught on. Everybody out there in Australia called me Aussie Mike, to a point where on the TV broadcast feed, my broadcast partner's name would be up on the screen, and then next to it, it would just say Aussie Mike. Like, that's how much
it's got
it
a nice
on.
Little ring to it, you know?
Yeah, and so, like, now my friends here call me that. So I would put Aussie Mike on the back of mine. Prado down on three pitches as Jackson picks up his second strike out of the inning, his third of the game. 1-2-3 go the Birds. And after seven full, Greenville still leads 1-0. We'll head to the eighth and pick up this nickname conversation when we come back on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Right-hander Hayden Nierman is the new pitcher for the Ironbirds in the top of the eighth inning. Greenville 1, Aberdeen nothing. Nierman gets Turner, White, Chacon, 5, 6, and 7. First pitch is sent up around the broadcast booth level, a little bit off to the side of us. Count is quickly 0-1 on Turner. So Nierman takes over for Luis De Leon, who threw three scoreless innings in relief. Picked up a couple of big strikeouts in the sixth, faced the minimum in the seventh. And now Nierman, who is recently off the injured list. Great to see him healthy and throwing the ball well. He is on for the 15th time overall this year, counting his rehab appearances. Seventh game with Aberdeen.
Nierman from Scottsdale, Arizona, another baseball town.
Yeah. I always thought it would be so cool to grow up somewhere that you could play baseball year-round.
Or golf.
Yeah.
I mean, golf is huge out there.
Chopper, a sliding stop out at second by Young.
What a play.
First. Nice play by Carter Young.
Wow.
How smooth was that?
Oh, my God.
The sliding stop on the turf to get that ground ball out to second.
Looked like he'd done it a million times.
Yeah, and then just kind of, I don't even know if he was all the way up when he threw it, but just an easy flip over to first.
Yeah. That was great. Great play.
Hayden Nierman's got to love that.
Flashing the leather.
The 4-3 on the putout. That brings up White, the catcher. So before the break, we were talking about what our players' weekend jersey nicknames would say on the back, and I would for sure go with Aussie Mike, just because it's a nickname that stuck. Like I never thought my friends back home would call me that.
Yeah,
but they do, and it's awesome.
It's so funny.
I love hearing it because I mean that was the time of my life, the 5 months I spent out there.
I bet it was.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
So it was actually during playing on a slow pitch softball team with them last summer, and you know sometimes I'm back in the Philly area in between when the Ironbirds are on the road, things like
sure.
And so I fill in on the team whenever I could, and there's another Mike on the team, and the lineup's like, how are you going to distinguish on the lineup sheet? So one day, here's the 1-2 from Nierman, flicked foul back, and the one day I wrote Aussie Mike in it. I crossed out Mike. I guess they put our last name initial, like Mike M and Mike whatever.
Yeah.
I crossed that out. I'm like, no, I'm putting Aussie Mike. And then from there, they just started all calling at me. 1-2, foul down the right field line. So I'd go Aussie Mike on the back of the jersey for sure.
I like it.
Growing up, I had a couple nicknames growing up. The one that I carried with me through most of my life, and even now a couple of my elementary school friends still call me it. The nickname Nini, the last four letters of my last name,
okay.
Mark Antonini.
Yeah, that makes sense.
1-2 outside from Nierman. It's 2-2 on White. And
nobody wants to say all those syllables.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everybody wanted to shorten it in any way that they could.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of mics. Like, there were,
right.
At one point, there were three of us in one class in elementary school.
Well, I mean, it's like there's a lot of Smiths.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. That's true.
I always tell people, it's like, I have the most generic name in America.
Brad Smith.
This is the only thing that would be worse if it was John.
3-2, grounded back to Nierman off the third base side of the mound. Throw to first in time. Nice play by Nierman, fielding his position.
Some people even ask me, like, if it's, I don't know, if I'm going to a doctor's office or something like that, for example. I say my name's Brad Smith. They always get the question of, like, no, really, like, what is your name? Like, I'm not making this up. I'm not a CIA agent, I promise.
I can see why you didn't really need any nicknames. Just Brad Smith, that's easy.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody forgets it.
Yeah. No one called you BS?
No, all the time. All the time.
Call you BS, sometimes call you on your BS.
Yeah, exactly.
1-0 outside. Nierman looking for a 1-2-3 top of the eighth. Birds down just to run. If they can get the bats going, they can win this with two. Yeah, I loved when people would call me Nini because, I mean, that's unique. Like,
yeah.
Nobody else
yeah.
is getting that.
Yeah.
And even now, like, there's probably two or three people that I went to elementary school with that I still keep in touch with, from the hometown, that every once in a while, if they see me, like, they'll call me that, which is really cool.
That is cool.
Like, I'm getting that.
A little bit of a throwback.
We're playing football on the playground at recess, third and fourth grade, and they're calling me Nini, and it's still, to this day, I'm still getting it every once in a while.
I like that.
3-1 pitch from Nierman's outside. So Chacon walks. That brings up Brian Gonzalez. So you said what your walk-up song would be.
Yeah.
What would you go with?
Have you heard The Baddest Man Alive by the Black Keys?
I probably have, but based off the title,
I probably have.
Can't think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't stray too far outside of country music.
You know, it's funny, we talked to Rip about this, and he's like, you know, your walk-up song has to be a song that you don't really love. Mm-hmm. It's got to be one that you can forget, because if it's a song that you do, you know, that you do poorly on, you don't want to remember this song anymore.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, it's just funny because you have Gunner coming up to, you know, Sweet Escape. You got to imagine that's probably not his favorite song.
No. 1-0 pitch, fouled away. Gonzalez. So,
must ring true.
Gonzalez in the box. Chacon was off on the pitch, so he'll have to head back to first. And I guess you hear it so often, you don't want to get sick of it.
Right.
It's like, you know, for the people out there that use a song as their alarm instead of just a generic, like, alarm noise.
That's exactly right.
Like, you hear that every morning to wake up, you're going to hate that song because it's your alarm.
Right.
1-1, that's in for a strike, 1-2. Nierman looks great throwing the ball, slinging it over the plate. Side armor, trying to throw a scoreless eighth inning. So, like, I mean, I do listen to music outside of country, but if somebody says, do you know this song or do you know this band or this artist, usually I'll be like, probably, but not based off the name. I got to hear it. Popped up, foul territory, first base. De Los Santos is there. He makes the catch, and the inning is over. Great outing for Hayden Nierman. Faces four batters, gets three of them out, two weakly hit ground balls, and a weakly hit pop out, working around a two-out walk.
Might be the quickest game you've ever called.
It might be. Birds down a run. We go to the home half of the eighth. Let's see if we can get Brad on the board here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Creed Willems leads off the home half of the eighth inning for the Ironbirds, looking to get some runs, down 1-0. The Birds didn't score until the eighth inning last night. We'll see if they can do the same tonight and tie this thing up or take the lead. Willems taps the first pitch of the inning back to Jackson on the mound. He throws over to first to retire Creed, and it's one pitch, one out here in the eighth. Well, both teams, Brad, swinging early in counts and a lot of first pitch outs for all the pitchers that we've seen tonight.
Yeah, not too many walks tonight. I mean, there's been a few, but not a whole lot. A lot of flyouts as well.
Jake Cunningham hit one to the warning track in right field his last time.
Man, I thought that ball was gone.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it had a shot. First pitch is in for a strike, and Cunningham has a little bit of a closed stance in the box, which you don't see from hitters very often, but it works for him. 0-1. Ground ball out to short. Romero scoops it up, throws to first in time. So on three pitches, Jackson has two outs here in the eighth.
My goodness.
I mean, if you like good pitching, you love this game. That brings up Carter Young.
Just would love to see an Ironbirds dub. Got four outs left to do it.
It feels like somebody's due for a long ball. You know what I mean? Like a dramatic game-tying homer.
Here's
a liner to left center. That's down in the gap. Chacon gets over to cut it off. Big turnaround first for Young. He stays put at first. Just the second hit of the night for Aberdeen. Just two hits for both teams. I mean, four combined hits in the game and only one combined run. We have not seen much offense. Pitching absolutely has the upper hand. But now with two outs, the go-ahead runs at the plate. Big hole on the right side for De Los Santos. as the drive play him to pull in the infield. First pitch to Anderson is a strike, caught the bottom of the zone. Birds down 1-0. The drive scored their run on a bases loaded hit by pitch in the second inning. That's it. Birds lost 2-1 last night, down 1-0 here. 0-1, swing and a miss, breaking ball off the plate. Jackson's been really good tonight.
You know, we were talking about the Ironbirds pitching staff and how talented they are, but I'll tell you what, this Red Sox organization has pretty darn good pitching as well.
Sneaky organization right now in terms of talent at the minor league level.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing a lot of the former Red Sox prospects that are now in the show with the big club having really good seasons this year.
Yeah, surprisingly.
0-2 off the plate. Yeah, the Red Sox, for sure, one of the most positively surprising teams of the season in terms of, like, the expectations were a lot lower.
And yeah,
they're performing.
And they're not a 100% healthy team either.
1-2 pitch. De Los Santos pops it up way up there on the infield. Gonzalez, the first baseman, is under it, right around the pitcher's mound, and he makes the catch to retire the side. So two ground outs and a pop out end the bottom of the eighth. So the Birds shut out through eight frames. They picked up their second hit of the night, but that is it. And they leave a man on base. We'll go to the ninth and see if the Birds can keep the deficit at just one run. New arm coming in. We'll let you know who that is when we come back on MILB TV and Bally Live. Top of the ninth inning in Aberdeen, 1-0 Greenville over the Birds. The Iron Birds held to just one run the last two nights combined. They don't have any yet tonight. Right-hander Zane Barnhart takes over, fourth pitcher of the night for the Birds, and he gets a first pitch strike over to the nine-hole hitter Andy Lugo, swinging a miss on a breaking ball outside. Lugo, Romero, and Reamer.
It's kind of unusual. Given what you mentioned earlier about kind of the piggyback pitcher strategy here, so four pitchers not the typical night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it just varies. I mean, really, like, you know, sometimes it's five pitchers out there. Sometimes you get through a game with two, 1-1 pitch.
I mean, I'd imagine if it was a
fouled away
high scoring game that would be the case. But you know, in a 1-0 game, it's just kind of a little surprising to see four pitchers out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a game where you could have seen two finish it, but when guys need work.
Yeah.
Then that changes.
Makes sense.
The plan, of course. So everybody who's thrown tonight's look good. Ferret, De Leon, Nierman, and now Barnhart. 1-2 pitch misses low. You know, right now, Brad, first priority is getting out of this top of the ninth inning.
Yeah.
It's still a 1-0 game.
Yes.
And then you got to have some runs in the bottom of the ninth.
We do.
2-2, breaking ball fouled back. 1 second inning run for Greenville is the only run of the game.
Rocco put one in the loss column, though, right?
Yeah, he lost.
Okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
2-2, swing and a miss. Good fastball from Barnhart on the inner half. And Lugo has gone on strikes back to the top of the order. I remember when, after I think it was after Rocco came on the broadcast. Like, I tweeted about it the next day, or maybe it was after Kevin, and you tweeted back and you said, like, you were pumped up to join me because we had already scheduled the day that you were going to come.
Right.
And I think your response to my response was, I just want to beat Rocco.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, yeah.
That was the goal.
Yep.
Barnhart's next pitch misses low and away. Counts 1-0 on the leadoff man, Mikey Romero.
It's funny because, like, you know, when you see us on the show, people think that Rocco and I hate each other. But Rocco and I are probably the closest next to Ryan.
1-0 outside as well, 2-0. I think, like, that's what's cool about you guys doing the show together is, like, you can just go back and forth and,
yeah.
You know, the average person might think it's like, oh, these guys are really coming after each other. But, like, it's all for fun and, you know, for entertainment value, of course, too.
Yeah, yeah. Rocco and I are kind of like those brothers that, you know, just beat each other up, but then 5 minutes later we're going out and, you know, just doing something else together. It's,
right.
We kind of have that relationship.
3-0 pitch is in for a strike. It's 3-1.
Definitely a brother type of relationship, mm-hmm. for sure.
Barnhart working quickly. Here's his 3-1 to Romero. That's outside, ball four. Zane has some good numbers this year. 2.45 ERA in 24 relief appearances for the Ironbirds.
I gotta tell you as well. You know, I know that. You know, when I was listening when Rocco was here, you guys were talking about you know, food in particular, yeah. Italian food. And I, you know, stay with Rocco a lot when I'm here, and especially when he was working for the news station. He would have 2 a.m. pizzas, 2 a.m. DiGiorno with some hot sauce on it. I'm like, bro, like, how do you eat that and just going right to bed? I just don't. Kid's an animal.
Yeah, I mean.
Can appreciate good Italian food, and right. then he goes in and just and has a 2 a.m. pizza.
And not even like a good pizza. It's just a frozen pizza, man.
I will say, DiGiorno, if you're going to have a pizza at 2 a.m., DiGiorno ain't bad.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, it's one of the better ones.
Yeah. But to your point, yes. Frozen pizza. Still, nonetheless.
I mean, there are some bad frozen pizzas out there.
You're not wrong.
So, I mean, DiGiorno's not bad.
Could have been a, like, Celeste pizza.
Right, it's not bad for the frozen pizza category, but, I mean, I guess really, you know, it's 2 a.m. You're working that news and sports lifestyle.
Yeah.
You got to have something late night ready to go. Ball and a strike on Reamer. Birds down a run. Top of the ninth. 1-1. Ooh, man, that looked good.
Yeah.
But one thing about Italians, whether we're eating, you know, traditional home-cooked, authentic Italian food or a frozen DiGiorno pizza, we're always hungry. We're going to eat any time we have the opportunity to.
Oh, without question.
Can't go more than a couple hours without getting something in the stomach. I mean, like, we are worried about dinner before we have breakfast. Like, you plan your day around your meals.
Yeah.
When you can.
Yeah.
2 balls and 2 strikes on Reamer. See if the Birds can roll one up to end this inning. 2-2. Popped up. Right side of the diamond. Foul ground. De Los Santos is there. He makes the catch. We have seen a ton of infield pop-ups tonight.
Yeah. And squirrely ones at that. I mean, De Los Santos really had to move to catch that ball.
So 2 gone here in the ninth. That brings up Zach Erhard, the center fielder. Well, both nights that you've been here to join me on the broadcast has been Italian night with the food spread.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
ziti is a hit. It's a good one. I did miss the chicken parm.
Yeah, the chicken parm during the game that got suspended when you were here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that really hit.
Yeah, yeah. Love me some chicken parm.
It would have hit even better if we had finished that game. Ground ball to the left side. It's through into left. Cunningham picks it up, gets it in. Just the third hit for the drive and just the fifth hit of the game. I remember during the delay before the game was officially suspended, I got one of those cutlets, you know, the chicken parm cutlets.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I cut open one of the really good breadsticks that they have here and put that inside there and made like a little sandwich out of it. That was good.
Oh, that does sound good.
So the night that Rocco was here, was Italian night. It just lined up that way.
Of course
you can't
it
make
was.
That up.
Of course it
and,
was.
And the two nights that you're here is Italian night. It was Mexican night when Kevin was here. They had the taco spread.
Okay.
Foul ball off the bat of Rosario with first and second and 2 outs here in the ninth. Wonder what it'll be when Ryan Ripken makes an appearance.
Yeah, right. I don't know if you're going to get Ryan this season.
Yeah, I know he's had a lot going on lately.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'll just have to come to him. A one outside.
You're more than welcome to do that, my friend. Studio is always open.
Just leave the key under the mat.
That's right.
So Zane Barnhart trying to work through a scoreless top of the ninth. He has the first two outs. But that all-important third out. He's got Rosario in the box. 1-1. Fastball misses low. A little bit low. 2-1. I know you guys got a lot of big plans, not only for the show, but for the studio as well. Last time you were here talking about getting a pool table in there.
Yeah, actually, Cal Ripken's pool table is going to be coming into the studio. He has it in storage, not doing anything. And, you know, we were kind of like, well, we got the perfect spot for it. Why not take it? So we got that coming in. We're got the funds through the support of our viewers and are building a bar in there as well. So super pumped about that. We have a new sponsor that's going to be sponsoring that bar too, which is really cool.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's going to be a multifunctional space where you can hang out and have a great time, but also get to work.
2-2, swing and a miss. Zane Barnhart picks up his second strikeout in a scoreless ninth inning, and he does the job that he was called on to do. Keeps this a one-run game as we go to the home half of the ninth. Birds down to their final three outs. They need one to tie, two to win. We'll see if they can do it and steal a W on a Friday night in the Dean. We'll head to the bottom of the ninth next on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Bottom of the ninth inning in Aberdeen, Michael Marcantonini and Brad Smith with you on the call tonight. It's been a really fun game, a really fun broadcast. It would be even more fun if the Ironbirds could grab a run, maybe even two to walk it off. We'll see what happens here, Brad, but just the fact that they've kept this a one-run game to the ninth is a big W going into it.
Yeah, and you know what? The pitching has actually done really well. A lot of base runners, and they've kept their calm. They've been cool, calm, and collected, and really, really kept the damage at a minimum.
Noelberth Romero, Douglas Hodo III, and Aaron Estrada, 8-9-1 due up for the Birds. First pitch misses inside to Romero, and the count is 1-0. Birds down 1-0, a run on three hits for Greenville, no runs on two hits for Aberdeen. 1-0, off the plate, it's 2-0. The Ironbirds have six walk-off wins already this season. Their last three walk-off wins all came against the Brooklyn Cyclones. 2-0. Romero fouls one back over the heads in the press box. 2-1. The Birds' last walk-off win was on July 31st against Brooklyn in Game 1 of a doubleheader. Carter Young hit a walk-off sack fly. Before that, it was June 30th against Brooklyn when Tavian Josenberger hit a walk-off three-run homer down two. Counts 2-2 on Romero. He just took that last pitch.
Let's get some base runners here, shall we?
get that leadoff man on, and it makes such a difference. 2-2, dribbled to third. Lugo has it on the run over to first. Well, just as I say that.
So much for that. Yeah, that wasn't your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault. Absolutely not. I've got a job to do. I've got to entertain and also inform. Just didn't work out. So 5-3 on the putout. If he had gotten on base, though, that would have been partly.
Take all the credit. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
One out, no one on. Here's Doug Hodo. 0 for 2, a flyout and a strikeout. Third baseman up a little bit. Hodo swings at the first pitch and misses. Gabe Jackson's still out there.
Well, you're right. The and I don't know if maybe it's a sense of urgency, but really aggressive at the plate.
0-1 from Jackson. That's low. 1-1 on Hodo. The Ironbirds have 6 walk-off wins, but also 11 last at-bat wins, meaning they get the go-ahead and eventual winning run in their final at-bat of the night. 1-1, swing and a miss. I think he got a piece of that one. 1-2. We'll get one of these next couple guys on, and then a 2-out walk-off homer to win it.
I'll take that.
Like, it feels like if the Birds are going to win this game, it's going to be on a long ball. 1-2, swing and a miss. Hodo's down on strikes. Well, Blake Wehunt through the first five and Gabe Jackson through 3 2/3 since have been nearly flawless. Both of these guys keeping the Ironbirds off balance. And, I mean, 4 Ironbirds pitchers kept the drive off balance and at bay all night.
Right, yeah, just that one run in the second. And I tell you what, both of these pitchers, Wehunt and Jackson, look like they could be MLB ready in a few short years here.
Pitch misses outside to Aaron Estrada, the last hope for the Birds. He's up for the fourth time tonight.
How old's Jackson?
Jackson is...
Didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
22. Yeah, another young guy.
Still young, yeah.
1-0 outside to Estrada. 2-0.
Red Sox got to feel good about the young talent.
Yeah, just really impressed with all 6 guys who've thrown the baseball tonight.
Yeah.
2-0 on Estrada. Takes a big cut 2-0 and fouls it back.
Yeah, and what I really liked about Ferret was, you know, he allowed that one run, but, you know, just overcoming that. Bases loaded, high leverage there, and really overcame it and locked back in.
2-1. That's upstairs, 3-1. All right. Find a way on with 2 outs. Bring that winning run to the plate.
Let's do it.
Sosa's on deck. See if he gets a shot. 3-1. Outside corner for a strike.
Oh,
man.
I don't know about that one.
I was getting ready to just say outside and then had to add the corner on there.
I don't know about that one.
Whew. 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Birds down 1-0, bottom 9. Jackson ready. Out of the windup, the pitch. Inside, ball 4. The tying run is on base, and the winning run is coming to the plate. Tomas Sosa will get a shot with 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. And this is all we wanted to see. Just
yes.
Get that tying run on, and one swing could win it.
This is why you have to be romantic about baseball.
Sosa's looking for his first homer and his first RBI at high A. This would be a great time for it. First pitch, chopper out to second. Reamer waits back on it, throws to first, and that'll do it. So he picks on the first pitch from Jackson. Got a piece of it, but just a weakly hit chopper to second base, and the Birds get shut out for the second time in 3 games this series, and the Drive have their 3rd straight win. That's a tough one, Brad. That's tough.
Yeah, but you know what? There are some positives. I mean, look, it was a 1-0 game, so it wasn't like some blowout or they lost because of, mistakes that were made. Like I said, Ferret really showed some what's a good word for it? Good college word would be gumption, I guess, through that bases loaded outing. And, I think they're – if you're going to lose a game, you want to lose it like this. You kind of gave it everything you got. Great pitching. It's 1-0. Right. There's not much to be upset about that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in the ballpark, whether they're on the field, us up in the booth, the fans, nobody expected that bases loaded hit by pitch in the second inning to stand up
right
as the only run of the game.
Yeah, agreed.
So a tough one for the Birds tonight. They've scored just one run over their last three games here at home. A little bit of a late-season offensive drought. The pitching has been fantastic. The bats will look to turn it around over the next few days. But a tough loss here. But like Brad said, there are always positives to take away from games like this. And, Brad, we have to talk about the pitching. You mentioned Michael Ferret getting out of that bases-loaded jam to allow just the one run. He went four innings, struck out four, gave up just the one hit. Luis De Leon worked around a handful of walks to pitch three scoreless. Hayden Nierman got a lot of weak contact in a scoreless inning. Zane Barnhart, two strikeouts, working around men on base in the ninth. So, I mean, all four of these guys did their job tonight.
Yeah, really good outings. And like I said, just allowing one run, nothing you can really be upset about. Your pitching staff allows one run, you expect to win that game.
Sure. And then on the offensive side, just two hits and not very many base runners, just four base runners all night. Sosa and Estrada each walked. De Los Santos and Young each had base hits. So just not much going on offensively. Cunningham was robbed of that hit back in the second on that really nice play by Wehunt behind his back. But five shutout innings with no hits and six Ks for Blake Wehunt. Gabe Jackson, four shutout innings with four strikeouts. So just Birds ran into a couple really hot pitchers right now throwing the ball well. But, Brad, you made it through a whole game. And even though the Birds didn't come up with any runs for you, you got a run last time you were here. And you got to win in that suspended game. We got to give it to you. But overall, it was great to have you for a full game. How was the experience for you this time not dealing with the rain and all that?
Well, I was just about to say, not only did I didn't have to deal without the rain, but it was just a beautiful night. I mean, this is a great night for baseball. And I appreciate you having me on again, man. Would love to come out anytime. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. And, you know, now that I've had four of the five Ryan Ripken Show co-hosts, I don't know that we'll get Rip this year, but had him on twice last year. It's been great connecting with you guys, and I really, that's what this Guest in the Booth series is all about, is connecting with people that have some hand in sports media or the entertainment field in some way, covering the sports in the Baltimore area.
Yeah,
that's what it's been all about, and not only am I building connections and, you know, maybe future colleagues, you know, with what we're all doing, but I'm making friends doing it.
It's
been great having you guys here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we build our entire business off of, right? It's just building relationships. Rip and I, you know, I think we talked about that. That was the crux of our business from the start. You know, we wanted to build relationships, and, you know, whatever that turned into, great. And it's just, I don't know, just makes you, it gives you more purpose, makes you feel more fulfilled when you can just do that and make an impact in that way.
And I know we talked a little bit about it the last time you were here. We squeezed in some of the conversation tonight, although this game flew by.
It really did.
What's next for you guys with the Ryan Ripken Show that we haven't already talked about?
Football, man. Look, we're in the dog days of baseball, and we're anticipating the Orioles that will be in the postseason, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We have the football season coming up in 3 weeks, if you can believe it. So
yeah,
we have a lot of big things planned, a lot of fun to be had for the Ravens season, and really looking forward to that. Don't want to give too much away, but we're going to have some live shows at the stadium. Sponsored by a couple of guys too, so that's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to get a lot of fan engagement in that as well. A lot of guests as well lined up, and we just might have a Raven each and every week of the football season on the show. So
yeah,
really looking forward to that.
That's a pretty good teaser right there to keep people tuned in and let people know what's going on.
But yeah,
I think Ryan tweeted about it the other day, and something along the lines of, you know, crossover season with postseason baseball and the NFL season getting in full swing.
It's going to be real busy.
Different. Yeah. No, I mean, it's that's a great time of year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited, of course. The baseball season wrapping up, football coming around. Looking forward to following what you guys are doing and staying locked in with what you guys are doing. Brad's not the last Ryan Ripken Show co-host that's coming this year. Zach Bollinger, who was my first guest of the year, he's coming back next week, so that'll be fun. But before we wrap up the broadcast, let's get you the final totals in this one. Ironbirds fans, with the win, the drive improved to 27-19 in the second half. The Ironbirds dropped to 23-23 in half number two. One run on three hits, no errors for Greenville. No runs on two hits, no errors for Aberdeen. Blake Wehunt picks up the win. He is 1-4. Michael Ferret suffers the hard luck loss. He drops to 3-4. Gabe Jackson picks up the save. It's his second. Game was played in 2 hours and 12 minutes in front of 3,512 fans. here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, Brad, it was really fun having you on the broadcast, and I think, like we've talked about it, you know, it's just building the connections and having fun talking sports. It makes everything better.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like I said, you know, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Fireworks are going off.
We got the, I think that's the sign we got to wrap up this post-game show. No one's going to be able to hear us. We got the fireworks here in Aberdeen. To even though the Birds got shut out, a really fun night. So for my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and my guest color commentator in the booth tonight, Brad Smith, my name is Michael Mark Cantonini. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Brad, one more time, thanks for being here, my man.
Likewise, man. Can't wait to be back.
Absolutely. That'll do it for a fun night in Aberdeen. As always, thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Thanks for flying with us. Go Birds. We'll talk to you tomorrow.